Good morning. Welcome to today's council meeting. April 13th, and we'll begin our council meeting. At this time, I'd like to welcome to the podium Reverend Dr. Tommy Brown, Irving Cedar Church, Missionary Baptist Church. Reverend Brown has been a community participant in his congregation. When the city of Dallas calls on Irving Cedar shows up. And Reverend Brown, welcome to Dallas City Hall. If you would, open us up with our prayer. Reverend Tommy Brown, Irving Cedar.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let us pray. God, we thank you today for all your blessings upon the city of Dallas. We thank you for the freedom, health, and safety that you have bestowed upon us. We ask today that you guide our city council and grant them the wisdom and knowledge, and Lord, that you will now allow them and enable them to conduct the affairs of our city. I pray for this assembled council and for the various levels of city officials. I ask that you would graciously grant this council wisdom to govern amid the many interests and issues of our times. Grant them a sense of the welfare and true needs of our people. Grant them a keen thirst for justice and rightness. Grant them a confidence in what is good and fitting for the city of Dallas. Grant them the ability to work together in harmony, even with the dishonest situations sometimes that arise in life. And Lord, as they disagree one with another, allow them to agree together to work for the betterment of this city. Lord, grant them personal peace in their lives and joy in their task. I pray for the agenda set before them today. Please give an assurance of what will please you and what will benefit those who live and work in and around our beloved city of Dallas. It is in your most blessed and holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Brown. Mr. Ron Matensky, would you kindly lead us in our pledge of allegiance?
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would you all remain standing for just a moment? Regina, a city employee.
I'll be back up.
Kindly come forward and we continue to honor America.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
And the
Well, I just like to make sure that
the
citizens of Dallas know that this is how we start our meetings, and that we have a lot of talent here.
Very good.
All right. We, Ms. Margolin has pulled item number 29. Where is? Hold on one second.
Okay.
Hearing no others, then we'll move forward from that point. And we'll do that. I'm sorry. Madam Secretary, let's go with our speakers as well.
Mr. Mayor, council members, we have several speakers this morning, starting with Rich Sheridan, William Hopkins, Linda Bates, Andrea Sunday, and Cornelius Amann. While Mr. Sheridan is coming forward, let me recite the rules for speaking. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council or while attending the city council meeting shall be removed from the room with the sergeant at arm as so directed by the presiding officer. And the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. You have 3 minutes to speak. When you see the amber light, that means you have 30 seconds, and the red light means stop. Please state your name and your address for the record, sir.
Yes, good morning, City Secretary. My name is Richard Sheridan. I live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. And I appreciate being here this morning. The summary of speaker gives the title, Jesus, parentheses, a Pharisee. We come upon the time of the year in the Christian faith to honor the man, Jesus Christ. Jesus came with a new theology, one of personal empowerment and personal responsibility and personal accountability. There's a major rift in the Christian religions today concerning what our responsibilities are. Many say that Jesus and God will take care of everything, and we just have to believe and have faith in Jesus and God that evil will be removed soon. The other major faction believes that faith without works is dead, and that we as Christian soldiers must join together to fight the evils of our day. I think this calling is in Jesus' most misunderstood words, quote, what I have done, ye shall do, and even greater things. Jesus stood before the ruling body of his land and called some of the Pharisees out for their hypocrisy and for their injustices, crimes against God's people. Today I call out Commissioner John Wiley Price for his alleged injustices, crimes against the citizens of Dallas City and County. I allege that Commissioner Price has violated his oath of office and acted consistently against our U.S. Constitution and the basic rules of common decency for either his own or for special interest to the detriment of his constituency, of county staff, of the mentally ill homeless, of those jailed, and to the detriment of the citizens of Dallas County. Half of the county residents live in the city of Dallas. There are many items of allegations here. I'll just give one or two. Is it true that Commissioner Price and his cabal removed Bruce Schroeder from office as part of an overall effort for he and his special interest constituency to take even more political control of Dallas as Tammany Hall once did in New York in the early 1900s? If we don't learn from history, we are damned to repeat it. There are two corrupt paths to political control today. The media, with big enough lies and big enough money, people can be led to believe in someone or vote for something they wouldn't have had it been told the truth. Theft, number two. Through vote fraud, fake votes are created or votes reversed by electronic voting machines, with the invisible rulers getting their puppets in office. I allege that Sherbert's removal is part of the plan to steal the May election. There is an important May election coming up, one where there is a growing concern over its integrity. Commissioner Price is the central character in this controversy. Since the county serves the city of Dallas in the matter of elections, I and many citizens and groups call on the mayor and city council to require Dallas County, I guess it looks like most of the city officials don't care about this since they're not in attendance and listening to what I got to say. This new election approach should include retaining Bruce Sherbert or someone of high integrity and high profile to orchestrate an independent election oversight, which includes paper-based voting machines. Otherwise, everyone up for election is in jeopardy of their election being stolen. Thank you very much, Mayor and City Council.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Mr. Mayor, our second speaker is William Hopkins, followed by Linda Bates.
Can I start with Dwayne Quebec or if you're talking about how did that go?
Mr. Hopkins, you need to start speaking. You need to start speaking.
Go ahead, Mr. Hopkins.
Okay. Dwayne, I took out about 15 years of my life, Dwayne, you know, to try to help the people in West Dallas. And I grew up in West Dallas. You know that. We done had a lot of talks. I come down here. I don't want to run for nothing, Dwayne. I don't want no money. So I gave all y'all the lawsuit where the city of Dallas sued the RSR, Dwayne, several months ago. It showed where, you know, the county. I got another lawsuit where the county sued, and the federal government some kind of way they sued Dwayne. Paul Fielding was here. When that lawsuit was handled in 83, when the city of Dallas sued the RSR, Paul Fielding was here. That's Miss Coop brother. And I gave you the paper to show where the city sued, and Paul Fielding was here, Dwayne, and people still dying, and I waited, you know. Dwayne, can I get some time? Come on, Dwayne. Don't do me like that, man. Come on, Dwayne. Don't do me like that, man.
Your time is moving, baby. Come on. Listen.
Newman is on the Trinity River board. Him and Salazar, and some kind of way they have to let us die, Dwayne, and you. I don't know what they done to you, Dwayne, for you to know. I beg your wife, Barbara Mallory Caraway. I begged her for years, Dwayne. You knew it. I mean, you done had it out about it. And I don't know why would you just sit there after knowing people dying and the whites and the Jewish people and Allen and Newman is steady disrespecting me, Dwayne. I don't know if you could say something to a white man.
Let me just
say one thing to you,
Mr. Hopkins.
First of all,
I'm not going to get into a debate with you. Let me
Dwayne. I'm trying to say something, yeah. And y'all still talking, Dwayne. I don't know if because he's white, you have to do me like this or what, Dwayne. I took out 15 years of my life to come down here, man. And I'm asking for 3 minutes, Dwayne. That's all I'm asking you, man.
Your time is ticking,
and my time is ticking.
And I would ask you to please address me as mayor and not Dwayne.
Huh? Okay, Mr.
Hopkins.
I'm trying to get some help for the people that's dying in West Dallas, Dwayne. Mr. Merrill. Honorable Merrill.
All right.
Okay. You told me in a meeting, Dwayne, you were going to help me. You told me this, Dwayne. The mayor had some secret meetings. Right. Leopard had secret meetings that you
right,
know
thank
about.
Thank you, Mr. Hopkins. Your time is up.
Our next speaker is Linda Bates.
Dwayne, can I get 1 minute?
Linda Bates.
Dwayne, can I have 1 minute for the people in West Dallas? Dwayne,
Andrea,
like you.
Andrea Sunday. Miss Sunday. Cornelius Amen. Amen. Gerald Britt.
Reverend Britt. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Mayor and to City Council. Appreciate you hearing me on today. I'm Reverend Gerald Britt, Jr. I'm the Vice President of Public Policy for City Square, formerly Central Dallas Ministries, a faith-based social service and social justice nonprofit headquartered here in Dallas that works on the root causes of poverty through direct service and advocacy. For the past several months, we've been working in coalition with the United Way of Greater Dallas, the Jewish Community Relations Council of Greater Dallas, and about 20 community and faith-based organizations to achieve the goal of getting 250,000 people out of poverty in the Dallas area in the next 10 years. In setting our agenda to achieve this goal, we learned that nearly every organization was helping the people we serve climb out of the deep hole of debt caused by predatory lenders. By taking advantage of a loophole in state law that allows them to pose as credit service organizations, they have used this loophole to disguise virtually unlimited interest rates as service fees. Because of this, thousands of citizens of Dallas find themselves trapped in a cycle of debt after coming for relief to these companies in difficult financial circumstances. Hardly any of these people take out these loans for vacations or expensive gifts for their friends and families. They come because of medical bills, household emergencies, funeral expenses, or even back-to-school expenses for their children. If these customers fail to pay back these loans in the short term, they accrue insufficient fund charges on checking accounts, rollover fees, and worse, other short-term loans to pay back initial short-term loans, creating an economically untenable situation for the borrowers, forcing them to seek relief from churches or nonprofit agencies. The APR for these loans, depending on the amount, can be anywhere between 300% to 500% or more. Across the state, there are more of these businesses than McDonald's or Burger King's. And in many of our communities, they cluster and make an easy prey of people in desperate circumstances. They choke out the prospects for more wholesome, desirable economic development. And they project the image of communities lacking the wherewithal to support more diverse economic activity. Now we look to the City Council of Dallas to provide further protection for our most economically vulnerable neighborhoods and communities. We are challenging you to adopt the strongest possible zoning ordinance to break up the devastating clustering of these businesses, which not only prey upon the desperation of our fellow citizens, but which choke out more wholesome economic development by their very presence. We are here to challenge you to regulate the operation of these businesses so that they cannot present themselves as painless alternatives and then strip these families of their dignity by trapping them in debt. There's no reason why Dallas elected officials cannot provide the protection and show the collective respect for the communities that have their image, their integrity,
take about 15 seconds.
And their future stifled by this industry. To show the council the public support for this regulation, the Anti-Poverty Coalition throughout the months of April and May will initiate a drive to gather 5,000 signatures urging you to adopt this strong ordinance. We use zoning to regulate adult businesses. We use zoning to regulate billboards. We use zoning ordinance to regulate garage sales. It is time for the City of Dallas to help end the assault on our communities by exploitation masquerading as commerce.
All right. Thank you, Reverend Britt. Thank you very much. Madam Secretary.
Mr. Mayor, our next speaker is Will McCall, followed by Lisa Andrews. Will McCall.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, City Council. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. My name is Will McCall. I am the president of the Dallas Leadership Foundation, where we are bringing hope to the city by developing leaders in communities throughout the city. We have 8 neighborhoods that we work with closely. I'm also a vice president of the African American Pastors Coalition. And I'm coming to speak to you with a concern about payday loan stores also, as they have grown across the country since 1996, we had about 2,000 payday loan stores in the country, and now we have well over 24,000 payday loan and auto loan title companies have made Dallas their headquarters. We have some of the largest companies here. We have Cash America International, First Cash Financial Services, and Ace Cash Express based here in Dallas, and I believe the reason they're in Dallas is because it's easy for them to do business here. We have over about 18% of our population in Dallas that have had payday loan and auto title loan loans here. And so being that they are focused on the 8 neighborhoods that we work with, and being that they are focused on the poor and the people that are in need, are taking out loans that are 300, 400, 500 percent, we are asking that the city change its zoning right now, because these payday loan and auto title loan companies are raping and destroying families. There are families behind these loans. There are elderly people behind these loans. There are children behind these loans. There are people that are working, and the working poor deserve better from a city and from a government that is there, supposed to be here on their behalf. They deserve a government that will protect them, because they do not have a voice, but they're struggling out there. So please change the zoning. Please get rid of this scourge on our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Reverend McCall. And Reverend Rick. You all seen before you leave, Reverend Rick. And see me before you leave, the two of you. See me before you leave today, the two of you.
Could I just add to all the people who are with us to support this event?
Let me do that, because you're out of order from the floor. With all members and supporters of this effort, please stand. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, we have one more morning speaker, Lisa Embry.
Go ahead. Ms. Embry, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
We're pleased to see you here this morning.
Well, thank you, Mayor Caraway and members of the council. My name is Lisa Embry. My address is 2121 Main Street. I'm here as the chair of the United Way Metropolitan Dallas Advocacy Committee, and I'm the president and CEO of LIFT, Literacy Instruction for Texas. We're celebrating 50 years of teaching Texans how to read. Both United Way and LIFT are members of the Anti-Poverty Coalition, and we've joined with local and statewide partners to bring about reform to payday lending and auto title lenders. Many thanks to the numerous legislators, your colleagues, including Senators Corona, West, and Wendy Davis, Representative Eric Johnson, and Rafael Anchia, for taking a stand in support of regulating payday lending and auto title lending. But you, our city leaders, need to take a stand as well. We understand these products are needed, but we cannot allow them to continue to suck its users into crushing debt. While a large number of these storefronts are located in South Dallas and other areas that may be economically challenged, these places have inundated our entire city. This is a citywide problem. It affects every neighborhood, all residents, and the livelihood of our city. I know you want the best for our community. I know you'll do the right thing, and when we bring you 500 signatures on a petition in support of a zoning ordinance next month, I know you will do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Embry. And good to see you again. All right, can I take that? Is it?
Yes.
All right, those are all of our speakers. Let me start with Councilman Allen.
You know, I just want to personally thank all of y'all for coming down for the payday lending and saying those fine words, and particularly the efforts that y'all have put into this. You're exactly right. Our citizens today are without question being taken advantage of. I heard the word rape, and that's exactly what's happening. 300, 400, 500% interest, you can call it anything you want, but it's rape. And unfortunately, we've allowed this, the legislatures have allowed this to go on for way too long, and those days are going to come to an end. We talked about the fact that this is a movement that's going on here in the city of Dallas, and hopefully statewide. This movement will continue to go on. Y'all continue to put the pressure on at the state levels for them to do the law, to change the law for the interest rates. The Senate bill is absolutely the one that we want. The House bill is too weak, so we want the Senate bill. I said it, and I'll say it loud and clear on that. We want the Senate bill. The leadership with Davis and West and Corona have been outstanding, so y'all stand beside them. I've asked our attorneys here at the city. I want to see the strongest ordinance that we possibly can have at the city level in the United States of America. Because obviously it is completely wrong for these poor people to have to go, and there's nowhere else to go other than to a payday lender and then be raped by the charges that they've got. They'll sit there and tell us that it is okay to do this because no one else will lend them money. Well, that's a bunch of baloney. We're going to bring in, we live in the United States of America, we're going to bring in other institutions. I've already been in conversation with Progressio. They do the 36%, which is still high, but it's a lot better than 300%, 400%, 500%. And they do installments, so it allows these people the opportunity to pay these off and to get out from under the debt. We will continue to work as much as we can. If the state doesn't move this forward, we're going to continue to work with the United States government at the national level. We're not going to have this go on and on and on in the city of Dallas. And that's just my pledge. So thank you all for coming down, and we look forward to continued working with your group and then also seeing the new ordinance, because we had one that we looked at, but it's just too weak. The last one we looked at was way too weak. And we want a strong one, the strongest one in the United States. That's my pledge, and I know my other council members will stand firm when it comes time for that ordinance. So, again, thank each and every one of y'all for coming down.
Thank you very much, Mr. Allen. Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a pleasure to see so many people come down and very, very concerned about their payday lending and the car travel loans. I've been talking about this ever since 2009. Matter of fact, I went to our city attorney back in 2009. In my district alone, we probably have over 25 payday lenders. And this has been at our city attorney office for the last year and a half, Jerry. Last year and a half. I have been to D.C. talking about it. Been talking to the state, to the federal. But also, there is a concern to me. What is the option? We can do, we can say what we can say, but what is the timing for the quality of life in this city? And when do you do something, what is the option to the citizens? I think that we said the fees are, it's the interest rate, but it's the user fees which keep charging, which you keep going back every time you don't pay on time. If you go and borrow $300 and you just pay the minimum on Friday, the fees keep going up. It's not the interest, it's the fees. And they have a right to charge a fee. So therefore, what we need to do is educate everyone to know it's not the interest, it's the fees. That's the law, the user fees. That's the law. And we got to be more educated and tell us what we can do. There also is a situation that, where do they borrow their money from? They borrow their money from the banks. And you look at the banks. And I think, Jerry, you're a banker. And when you are a banker, when you sit there and you want to loan out $300 to 1,000 people, it's not worth for the bank to loan $300. So what the payday lender do, they go to the bank and borrow the capital and the equity. And they can lend $300, $400 to 1,000 of people. So you can't say it's just check cashing. You got to go to the bankers. You got to go to the big boy. And you got to say, what can you do to solve the issue? I had banks in my neighborhood that closed down. When they closed down, who moved into it? The payday lenders. So the landlord, they are leasing their property to the payday lenders. So we got to be educated, but we also got to be smart. We also got to be intelligent enough that the lobbyists, who is one of the biggest lobbyists in the state, in the federal government, who lobby our senators and our state representatives all across to make sure we use that. So when you sit there, we're going to fight. It's good to talk about it. But we've been talking about it in my community for 2009. And in 2009, I had maybe four or five payday limits, and today I got over 24 within 2 miles. So talk is good, but you got to come with a plan. And I ask everyone, you need to contact your state legislature and your senator and say, what we going to do about the users? Let's get to one point. We're going to talk about four or five different issues. The main issue is the fees. We need to attack the fees first. But also, we come to payday lender, we need to find out what is the option, what is the alternative. And this is what we're facing right now. If you stand in front of payday lender, the cash or murder, whoever, there, if the parent or the person want to go through that door and say, you know what, I need $500. And that $500 I need to save my house, my kids need some milk, I mean, whatever I need, what is my option? You got to give them options. Where do I go from there? And that's another situation. So it's good to talk about with all the rhetoric, but you got to have a solution at the end of the day. In my neighborhood, we need solutions. And that's why Fresher, West, Concord, Antioch, and IBOP, from FCIA to attack this issue, because it's around the churches. And we are attacking our community, but we also want to make sure you understand the issue and the concern. If you don't understand the issue and the concern, and that's the situation, then you also got to have a solution. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Mr. Atkins. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In South Dallas proper, the South Dallas South Park area, we have an SUP on payday loans in the South Dallas, and we did that as a part of PD 595, and we're going to be updating PD 595. And so that's why in South Dallas proper, we have some of the ones that have come, they've had to come before the council, or they will be coming before the council for an SUP permit. But Mr. Atkins, I do agree with you. I want to commend you for getting on top of this situation and staying on top of it. It is the banks who the payday lenders go to in order to get the money. And some of these banks are national, known banks around the country. And so if we're going to tackle one, we got to tackle the other one as well. There was a presentation given to us, and one of the things they talked about, just the banks, some of the banks were giving the payday lenders money in order to do the loans. And so I guess that's why I'm having issues with the banks themselves are giving the money, but yet they are standing in the background not saying anything about this issue. So we just think it's just the payday loan themselves. The banks have to take some responsibility. Number one, they're not giving out loans to our people. Our credit is D and F papers. They look at that. It's not credit worthy. And we gotta clean our credit up. So when we try to get a loan at a commercial bank, we are getting turned down. So we got to talk about this whole issue of our credit. At the end of the day, half of us who are walking into the bank, we can't even get a loan. So half of the individuals go to the payday lenders, and they get a $500 loan, $250 loan, or whatever. But we really got to look at the banks who are giving the loans to the payday lenders. And we have to sit down and have a conversation with the banks. Why can our people not get loans? Why can our people not get loans at the end of the day? They would give us a car loan, but they would not give us a business loan. They'd give us a homeowner's loan, but they would not give us a business loan. And when we have business loan, that means that we're empowering people. And so, I mean, the conversation has to be, it's bigger than just the payday loans. It's deeper than this, much deeper. And we got to deal with it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Davis. Ms. Coop, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to thank the participants that came today, both Reverends, Reverend Britt, United Way, Linda. She's somewhere in the audience. There she is. I do want to thank you for coming down, and I also want to thank United Way for coming and educating us from the panel the day that they came before the committee. I think that was very helpful. I think that was very helpful to the council. I had a lot of payday lenders in my district over near Spring Valley and Coit, and what I have noticed is when the city of Richardson put in their payday lending ordinance, that then because it's just right adjacent on the south, because Dallas is on the south side of Spring Valley, then there were many more payday lending operations that to the south side of Spring Valley, because we did not have an ordinance. So there are lots of issues that surround this very complex issue. But the more we are educated on, I think the better off we'll be. I'm a strong supporter of some type of regulatory guidelines that surround payday lending. I know those affect my district and many of the folks in my district. I don't pretend to know the solution today. I do know that there was some legislation that would have been very helpful. But I look forward, Ms. Davis and Mr. Atkins, to continuing the conversation to make myself more educated on all the issues that surround payday lending. And Mr. Allen, I appreciate your passion. You have done an excellent job. I know you've been down to the statehouse, and that's a couple of times that's difficult to go down there and try to move a piece of legislation. I really do appreciate your passion. I know that it's coming from your heart, and you really do believe there can be some regulation around and some guidelines around payday lending. And hopefully, if it doesn't occur in the state legislature this year, I look forward to having that conversation with the council and what the council can and cannot do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ms. Madonna, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Reverend Britt, as always, a leader in our community, especially in our communities with most need. Mr. McCall just had a meeting yesterday afternoon with someone from the Owenwood neighborhood, just singing praise about the leadership council that you're bringing in 6-8 communities. And so he asked for the meeting and showed me the notebook, and I had another crime watch meeting last night in East Dallas, and I invited him, and he was there wanting to learn more and bring me more information into his neighborhood. So thank you for the leadership that you're grooming in that neighborhood. Lisa, thank you for being here, and of course, United Way, always a leader in our community. Mr. Allen, thank you for your leadership in going to testify in Austin in this, and I know that you had some very favorable editorials and nice articles that we need to make sure that we're doing. I have looked into this, and there is a Windsor, I believe it's Windsor United Methodist Church out of Houston, in their power center, are doing a lot of things in Houston, and I would definitely like to work with Councilmember Allen and Councilmember Atkins and Ms. Davis to look into the programs that the power center, I guess it's the arm of Windsor United Methodist in Houston. They're doing some things to empower communities, and I believe they have some type of lending facility there that do lend communities or individuals the small loans that are needed in the neighborhood. So Mr. Allen and Mr. Atkins and Ms. Davis, I'd love to work with you a little bit more on that. Haven't researched thoroughly, but some people have talked to me about that power center. So again, Mr. Mayor, thank you for the time allowed me to speak to some of the folks, but thank you very much for taking this on.
Thank you very much, Ms. Madonna. Mr. Salazar, please.
Thank you, and I think Mr. Atkins made the right comments regarding the issue of having the banks also be a part of this process. The issue is not necessarily that they're everywhere. They're everywhere because people need to have access to cash in an adequate manner, and banks are not equipped to do that. They exist in areas where there are no banks. West Dallas, for example, no banks. Now, I made a comment last year in one of our meetings that, you know, Bonnie and Clyde from West Dallas, where there are no banks to rob. That's why there are no more Bonnie and Clyde. There's no banks. So shame on the banks not coming to West Dallas. That's one. Two, you'll see a change in legislation when you start seeing these pop up in Frisco or in all these other suburban areas.
And if you see one of these in Highland Park, I guarantee you legislators are going to be up in arms to change the law to keep them from coming to those cities. But addressing the location is only one of the issues. I think Mr. Atkins said, well, we need to address the issue of the people, why they would divide this. You know, we're in a down economy, more people are more distressed, people are losing their homes, losing their cars, they have to pay for things, they have to pay for even paying for child care. You know, that's where programs, I know Mr. Allen, Mr. Atkins, Mr. McDonald have supported, for example, working with the IRS on getting credits, working with different agencies to educate people, like we do with our housing. Before people buy homes where the city is participating in programs, they get educated on what it is to have home ownership, what it is to be able to balance the budget to pay for your mortgage. They learn all these things, and maybe we need a more comprehensive plan to address these issues as well, to educate people on how to, you know, work their money, how to work with the banks, and I think Mr. Allen's been working on that, and also try to resolve some of these issues before they get to the point where they have to have a payday loan. Until we change the law, those processes and procedures on how they charge their interest will continue. We can try to restrict them to the most narrowest places in the city, but if they already exist, they're going to stay there. They're grandfathered. So that means that they're in West Dallas, South Dallas, East Dallas. They're not going anywhere. They're just going to stay there and keep doing the business, and it's legal. They can do that business. I mean, we can't vilify them for providing a service that people, you know, want to take advantage of. You can't vilify the industry, but you can work with the legislature to change the practices so that you can control how much they're able to charge these individuals so they won't be taken advantage of. So with that, I want to thank Mr. Allen, Mr. Atkins, Ms. Davis. I know you've worked on it, and to keep working on this, because this is an issue that's only going to get worse until our economy gets better.
Thank you, Ms. Salazar. Mr. Nuczynski, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be very brief, because I think everybody has said pretty much everything that needs to be said about this issue. It is a citywide issue, though. It is not just something that is plaguing particular parts of this city. It's all over. But particularly what I want to do is thank Mr. Allen. He took on the leadership on this early on, and several people have talked about what are the alternatives, and I think what's been missing is that Mr. Allen, as chair of the Budget and Finance Committee, has also worked hard to move the Bank on Dallas program to provide alternative ways for people to borrow money and do banking that fits their needs, and that needs to be given credit. It's one thing to say, well, let's search out a solution. It's another when you take that solution and try to move it forward. And so, Jerry, I appreciate on behalf of the entire council, the community, what you've been doing to get that forward. And that could be the replacement for some of these operations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nuczynski. Let me just chime in at this particular point and to say that I want to thank Reverend Britt and everyone that has come down. And sometimes you just have to put it on the table the way it is. Granted, everyone's comments have been in order. Jerry, let me say to you, thank you for going to Austin. Thank you for picking up the ball and getting on the plane several times going down. Representative Mallory Caraway has said that you've been down there working extremely hard. And it's a challenge in Austin because the lobbyists there are working very, very hard to, and they get paid to do so, to keep this business going, and it is a business. I don't necessarily want to put it just on the banks, and I respect the comments of my colleagues, but it's not just the banks. The banks are in business. When these people go, when the SOBs go to the bank, they get a loan too. Okay? So it's not just the bank. It is the fact that it is this type of predatory type of a business that has a business plan that goes to the bank to get money as everyone else does. It is incumbent upon the neighborhood. One colleague mentioned Highland Park and the Planos, and I agree with that. But that is the same thing that we have to do in our areas. Is you can't go into certain areas and just have it your way and do the Burger King. And if we as a community allow this to take place,
then of course they're going to continue to come, and it's going to increasingly grow out of control when we sit silent. So in order to address the problem, we first have to understand the problem and put the ground solution together first. And then if we're denied, granted the banks have not treated us fair. It's been redlining in the past. We don't have enough banks and don't have any banks in West Dallas. We have very few banks. We don't have loan officers sitting at the front table when you do come to the banks in the southern sector ready to take your application and to give you a business loan. Granted, that is the deal. Now, but at the same token, when you look at the fact that they wave this caveat over you to say you bring the check and we'll give you $100 and we'll just let you pay it back out the check. That is something that they have planned and have created a way and a mechanism of how they could make money. And certainly it is wrong. They are predators in my opinion. But at the same token, we need to keep the predators out of our neighborhoods as they keep the predators out of Highland Park. Not picking on Highland Park, I'm just using that as an example. And that's our responsibility. Now, in my district, I'm not having a major problem with these payday loans. Because I can count the payday loans that's on the length of the quarter. And I say that because I said no to them. Because that's my turf. And I stand up to that to make sure that they're not wanted over there. And I don't care whose feelings I hurt or whose toes I step on, but as relates to what is going to take place, that is a responsibility that we have to step up to the plate and we have to stand ground to say what you can and cannot do. Now, I've made a lot of people mad about it, but I don't care because I'm doing the right thing for the folks that I represent. And I think that is the attitude that we have to take and should take all over the city. We do have a problem. It is a problem. This council will work with you, Jerry. We'll work with the state. We'll come up with the planning, with the zoning. We will do every single thing we can do. But before the fire starts raging out of control, then we must be on the front end of addressing the problem. Because when you look at the number of payday loans that are over-proliferated throughout certain areas of our city, it's because we sit on our hands and allowed it to come, and we can't be mad at them for taking advantage of an opportunity that we did not seize the opportunity in the moment to tell them no. Now, so now that I've said that we are the problem as well, now we must start moving toward solutions. And what will be the solutions? We will, at this council, do every single thing that we can to stay unified in our thinking as best we can, to make sure that each and every council member that's sitting around this horseshoe have the same feelings, and that we're on the same mission and the same page of trying to make sure that the problem that we have today, that we will very sternly address. But we can't have double standards here. We have to call it the way it is. And I certainly will be calling it the way it is. And whoever don't like it, it's going to be too bad. Because I'm going to say what needs to be said in order to solve the problem. I'm trying to ramble. I'm trying to say a lot right now. But at the same token, I'm identifying where the problem is because I know where it is. It's like crack cocaine is in our community now. The only reason crack cocaine is in our community is because we haven't stood up and said, hey, get it out of here. Completely, like they did when cheese came out. Well, you hadn't heard the conversation about cheese, because it went to those very areas, and those folks said, we'll not be any cheese, and cheese has gone away. But crack is still here. The payday loans are still here, because we've yet to stand up. But we're standing up now, and I will be standing with you. I appreciate each and every one of my colleagues, each and every one of them, because they've all had something to do with trying to make sure that we eradicate this problem. But it just cannot be eradicated here around this horseshoe. I say to all of you, to my church up there, Pastor Haynes, how you doing? Good to see you, Reverend, and everybody here. It will take you to back us up. We sent our colleague to Austin to deal with it. But he went down there by himself. But we have to have, and I know there are others with him, but we have to have a unified voice to the people and to that legislator as relates to what our position is, and it just can't be the Dallas City Council, just cannot be Jerry Allen by himself, cannot just be us here trying to make those rules. We have to do more of what you're doing today, and that's coming down. Today, you have our attention. Now, come back next week. Come back the week afterwards. If we really want to get rid of this problem, keep showing up. Don't bring just Friendship West and a couple of other churches into it. Bring all the churches in here. Let the people see. Let the payday loan folks see. Let the folks that are utilizing these facilities because they have no other way at this time, let them see and educate them through this process, this open government process. I'm fine with being so long with it. I won't be none unmayoral anymore. But I have to just get my word out sometime so folks can understand that I do have the passion, the same passion that we have here. Because I hate them. Let me just tell you that. I hate them. That's why they're not around in my district as they are across the city. Because when I hear one coming, I'm right on top of it, telling them that they're not welcome and they need to look somewhere else. Okay, I'm sorry.
Now, you ready for the consent agenda, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, ma'am. Do we go to the minutes first?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
All right.
Too.
All right. Let me get a motion for approval of the minutes, please. Then move a second. All in favor? Any opposed? Madam Secretary, consent?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, the consent agenda starts with item number 2 and ends with item number 70, and on the addendum, items 1 through 4. You have one correction on item number 38. It should read supplemental agreement number 2 instead of supplemental agreement number 1. And those are all of the items on your consent agenda. And Councilmember Margolin has requested that item number 29 be removed for individual consideration.
Be removed?
Yeah, for individual consideration.
Okay, oh, okay, I got you.
Yes.
All right. What is that number, too? Addendum item number 4? Oh, okay. Now, we've already... What are the rules there? I'm filling items.
She can do it. She can do it.
We drew some proofs.
Mr. Mayor, the practice of the council is to receive all items for individual consideration by 5 p.m. At least the night before the meeting, but it's up to the council to make that decision.
And I think that we've always allowed people to pull items, particularly in situations like this where we had an article in the newspaper today that sheds additional light on this addendum item.
So it's up to the council, so we need to get a council approval.
It's strictly up to the council?
Okay, Mr. Mayor, that'll be fine as long as we do that every single time that anyone ever wants to pull anything.
Okay.
And colleagues, I'm troubled that this is the first time we've ever done this in the 6 years I've been here.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I think there was an additional item that needed to be pulled for individual consideration.
All right.
By Councilmember Hill. Thank you, that is correct. Item number 44. Conflict. It is not a technical conflict, but it is a matter with which I am uncomfortable, and therefore I'm going to recuse myself on item 44. However, as long as I am speaking, colleagues, whether or not I agree with Ms. Hunt, I am troubled that we are not showing Ms. Hunt the same respect that we have always, the same courtesy that we've always shown. If a council member wants to pull an item, we have always been very, very flexible about that. It doesn't matter how you're going to vote on an item. We have always simply permitted that. And I am very troubled by the fact that... Don't turn my microphone off.
No, I didn't turn your microphone off. Keep talking.
Thank you. I am troubled, deeply troubled, by this particular shenanigan. And I agree with Ms. Hunt. If we have to take a vote on whether or not Ms. Hunt can...
can pull this item for individual consideration. When we have done it every time that I can recall that I've been sitting on this council, then we will need to take a vote on that every single time it comes up. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Hill, we're going to entertain Ms. Hunt's motion. I want to make sure that we understand the rules, because as chair and as mayor, I want to make sure that we do our very best in following the 5 o'clock deadline. That is something that is set in policy. We do have the ability to adhere to a change, but I do not want to get into where it is a change after we've prepared our agenda, and then I find myself pulling 6, 7, and 8 items when we should have done that before 5 o'clock. I'm gonna always adhere to a council member. So I mean, it's going to be pulled and discussed. Yeah. Yeah. That's not me.
Are we having audio problems?
Yeah, we have some audio problems. There's a new system. I got some magic over here, Ron Phil. Try it again.
Yours is on. I think yours is on.
Mine is on.
It's on.
Thank you so much. Ms. Kelly, as I was saying, I understand the rules. I stay on the rules.
Yeah.
As a lawyer, I have to be very clear on the rules. But I'm also very clear on the courtesy that we show each other.
Yes.
And we have never, prior to this, enforced the 5 o'clock rule. We have been very, very flexible about this. Very flexible. I have gone to the chair on numerous occasions and said, you know, I didn't quite get around to pulling this, and I need to do it. And we have never said, well, we have to enforce the rules. And I don't want to do it now because we may or may not agree with the position we anticipate may or may not be taken. I want to enforce council courtesy irrespective of who is asking for it.
And Mr. Mayor, I have a point.
Absolutely. Let me just respond, then I'll go to you, Ms. Hunt. And that is true that other mayors have allowed that, but I will, in my preparation for these meetings, will be requesting that we have the information in by 5 o'clock so that we can set our agenda and our schedules. And if indeed, as we are faced with today, I will always honor, but I want to make sure it is very clear as mayor that it is my expectation for us to follow the set policy, and we will always, and I as mayor will always adhere to any council member at any point under any circumstance, but I want to make sure that it is limited as best possible because I prepared myself to carry this meeting forward as we are moving currently now. But Ms. Hunt?
Mr. Mayor, is it your intent to take a vote on this issue?
No, I'm going to let you pull the item. That's why I don't understand where we're going.
Mayor, I'm ready to make a motion on the consent agenda.
Okay.
I move that the consent agenda be approved, minus 2944 and addendum 4.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any against? Any opposed? Hearing none. So moved. Madam Secretary?
With that, Mr. Mayor, all items have been approved on the consent agenda. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, I was looking at Mr. Crenshaw in the audience because he had requested to speak on all items. Usually when we have a speaker that wants to speak on all items on the consent agenda, that speaker is allowed to speak prior to the consent agenda being approved. So I apologize, Mr. Mayor, for not handling it that way.
We'll apologize to you, Mr. Crenshaw. We will give you the opportunity to speak now. But we've already voted.
But I was going to good morning, Crenshaw, 5134, Malcolm X. Thank you, Mayor. Carry away. But I was going to request, before you voted on agenda item number 21, that I speak regarding
the restricted, the redistricting guidelines and the redistricting commission, and also if I could throw it in about the redistricting commission, as far as boards and commissions are concerned. As one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit Williams et al. Versus the City of Dallas, which established 14-1, I wanted to just add some guidelines and hope add some comments, and hopefully that you could have an addendum to this agenda item number 21. One thing that is never talked about is the fact of this, is that once the lines have been approved, this is the 20th anniversary of the first city council elected on 14-1. Once it was approved, there was something else that was added that hopefully that we will have to go to court on with the council, and that is regarding the way the mayor is elected. Once we had our first election, I went back and I asked Mike Daniels, the attorney for the plaintiffs, to do one more thing for me, and that is to file something regarding how the mayor of Dallas was elected. Because of the fact we continue to hear during the lawsuit about the strong mayor. And when she did, he told her that Judge Buckmeyer was not going to be favorable on it. But I said, well, go ahead and file it anyway. He said, Marvin, it's not going to be in the paper. I said, it doesn't make any difference. Just file it. And when she did, and it went all the way up to the Fifth Circuit, had a special hearing here in the city of Dallas in 1994, and subsequently Lamar Kirk was elected, and then, you know, I sort of backed off of it. It seems like we'll have to go back to that, and I want to, what I'm asking, Mr. Mayor, and members of this council, is to look at Williams et al. Versus the city of Dallas, Marvin Crenshaw appellate, and it's concerning how the mayor was elected, because we still see, after two elections, where the strong mayor voted down, there is a cry in the community, not just in the African American community, but across this community, that we're going to have a big battle again over the strong mayor. Because of the fact the person that was pushing that whole strong mayor thing, Lord Miller, former mayor Lord Miller, is backing one of the candidates for mayor, and we feel that's Mr. Cobbler. We feel that that's going to be a big issue again at this council, and you're going to be in court again. Now, she's having a fundraiser appointment to her house tomorrow night. I didn't prep and holler. And I'm just warning you council members is that we're going to file, we'll be back in court again. And we have a test case right here that's been sitting there and nobody knew about it. And we're going to be back in court if that happens again. That's tomorrow night at Impressive Hollow, David Couple, Ronald Miller pushing the strong mayor again. And for those, I supported Mayor Miller when she was in that runoff with Dennis. We have to call her to push over.
Thank you,
Mr. Crenshaw. And I told her then I wasn't for no strong mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw.
Mr. Mayor,
we voted on the consent agenda.
Yeah, the consent agenda has been approved by the council.
Let's move, Ms. Hunt, to addendum 4.
Mr. Mayor, addendum item number 4 is authorized, number 1, acceptance of a grant of $5 million for the Trinity Trust Foundation for the design of the IH-30 bridge, pedestrian, and bicycle component. 2, execution of the grant agreement. 3, an increase in appropriations in the Interstate 30 Bridge Donation Fund in the amount of $5 million. And 4, a professional services contract with Santiago Calatrava LLC to provide engineering and design services for the Interstate 30 Bridge pedestrian and bicycle component in an amount not to exceed $10,688,500.
Ms. Hunt?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Gerald, could I ask you just a couple of questions about this, please? First of all, do we have funding? I wasn't clear just from the briefing. Do we have the funding for the I-30 bridge, or does TxDOT have funding to construct the bridge?
TxDOT is still looking for additional funding.
What is the price tag?
Right now, the bridge is $314 million, and the only funding that's been identified is the $92 million.
So we don't have total funding for the I-30 bridge yet, and that's with the plain vanilla design.
For Well, the $314 million is the current cost estimate with the Calatrava piece added.
And how much is the Calatrava piece as part of it?
It's around, it's the 92.
Okay, so we have the funding to do the bridge without the Calatrava piece. Is that what you're saying?
We have our funding to get the Calatrava portion done. TxDOT is still looking for their funding. Each agency was responsible for coming up with its funding for its part of the bridge, and TxDOT is still working on their piece.
Okay, so if we were to do the plain vanilla bridge without the Calatrava additions, you're telling me we have about a third of the funding for the bridge, roughly a third of the funding, and we would have to find another two-thirds of the funding, right?
Well, if there was no Calatrava piece, then TxDOT would still need to find the remaining funds for the bridge.
Okay, there are two parts to this, and I just want to make sure I understand. Of the $314 million, $92 million of that is the Calatrava piece?
That's what we've allocated for a signature component.
Yes, so if we didn't do the signature component, it would cost roughly $220 million?
Right. And TxDOT has none of that.
TxDOT does not have the funding for that. Now, can we use the $92 million to fund a $220 million bridge?
TxDOT would like to, yes.
Okay. So that would bring the cost down to roughly, what, $140 million?
Roughly.
Somewhere around there. So the difference is in finding $220 million. Either TxDOT has to come up with $220 million, or TxDOT has to come up with $140 million.
Right. Or they might defer the frontage road. So TxDOT at this point is on the mission to find $220 million.
But we could reduce that by $92 million if we don't have the Calatrava components, right? I mean, that is a possibility.
It is a possibility. It violates what we've all been working towards. But
my understanding, just from what I saw in the newspaper today, was that we're not sure that we're going to be able to use the $92 million for this possibly separate pedestrian bridge.
Well, TxDOT and the Council of Governments and the city have been working for years, and TxDOT and the COG have known for years that the $92 million has been allocated to us. Basically, what's happening is each side is bringing money to the project. All the money gets thrown into the pot for the single project, and then we move forward as one combined project. So TxDOT or the COG could bring additional monies to the table and literally kind of swap the purpose of the money out, that the $92 million goes for main lane reconstruction, TxDOT state money or COG regional money could go to the Calatrava portion. We've always worked towards having this, you go get your money for the piece that you're designing, put it into the pot.
I understand, you're saying it's fungible. I understand that, but what I'm not clear on is, what I read today was that we do not have the funding, or we don't think we do, or one of the conversations we're having is that we don't have the funding to do an outright Calatrava bridge, which...
Well, right now we don't have the funding to do a plain vanilla bridge, so...
Right, but the difference is significant in the cost that we're looking for. It's $92
million. Well, but if you don't have the money, you don't have the money, and so...
Well, there's a difference between not having $220 million and not having $140 million. I mean, that's a significant difference. I understand that you're saying we can't build it tomorrow either way, but there's a difference in the funding gap, is my point. And what I'm trying to get at is, what I read today and what I want to understand is, it sounds to me like we're anticipating that we're not going to be able to do, and we're not going to have the funding to have Calatrava design and construct this elaborate second Calhoun Harbor Bridge. What we were instead considering is having them design a pedestrian bicycle bridge that may or may not be a separate facility. Is that the conversations that are going on right now?
Well, because of the funding and the schedule, we've stopped our fundraising efforts for the four arch bridge, which is the bridge you've typically seen pictures of in the press. And instead, we're wanting to have a new bridge, so it's an integrated structure, so that when you think of the Margaret McDermott Bridge, you think of all of the pieces together. So the pedestrian element, frontage roads, the main lane, all of that is one bridge. They might be separate structures from a, you know, holding the bridge up, but it's one bridge, and all of that is the Margaret McDermott Bridge.
But it sounds like the piers that will provide the structural support for the pedestrian component, it sounds like that bridge would be the only component designed by Calatrava, and the rest of the bridge, the four-arch bridge that we've seen so often, would not actually be designed more.
Yeah, we're not going to do the four-arch bridge anymore.
Okay, so if we're not going to do the four-arch bridge anymore, right now we're talking about one component of that bridge being designed by Calatrava.
Right, but we don't know exactly what that component is. We've talked to him about integrating it into the frontage roads. We've talked to him about it being a physically separate structure where it's self-supporting. We've also talked about a kind of a hybrid in which the frontage road bridge and the pedestrian bridge are linked together to provide lateral support and connectivity. So that has decided exactly what it is he's going to design.
Does TxDOT think that we could fill a $140 million gap? Do they have ideas about where we can get that funding?
They're looking at the Prop 12 money.
And how likely is it that we could get that?
The Council of Governments is working hard to secure that, not only for the I-30, but the I-35 and the SM Wright project. So,
will it make it more difficult for us if we're asking for 220, just about double that, rather than 140 million?
Well, we want all of that money. We need all of those projects done. So,
okay. It seems to me that it would make a lot more sense for us and be a lot more prudent for us if we don't believe that we can do these, do this second Calatrava Bridge, that we, let's be smart with our money. We have a very, very, very limited amount of money. We know transportation dollars are extraordinarily limited right now, and it doesn't make sense to me that we would be focusing our attention on creating a second signature bridge when TxDOT wants to move forward on the plane bridge, when we don't know how much are we spending, $2 million, $3.5 of bond funds on the Calatrava component, and we don't even know what that Calatrava component could be.
Well, the flip side of that is that these bridges last 50, 75 years. They last for, you know, generations, and TxDOT, you know, is having a short-term issue with funding, but that can turn around, you know, as things change in the state legislature and they come to terms with the exact infrastructure needs for the state. And so the question before us is, do we make a decision on these bridges based upon a short-term funding issue at the state, or do we take the long-term vision and build something that is more memorable and will promote economic development in the city and really promote the overall good of the city?
Well, I question whether it would actually promote economic development. And I also would take issue with the idea that it's short-term versus long-term, when in fact we have such needs right now. We have such tremendous needs, and I would hate to see this bridge, which is ending its life expectancy, not be constructed because we're waiting around for another $100 million in funding that we can't find anywhere because we want to create a more elaborate bridge. We have one Calatrava bridge, and it seems like one should be enough when we can go forward and build a plain vanilla bridge. I guess my other question is, do we know how much a pedestrian bicycle component would cost, just a plain vanilla. How much of that $314 million, the $314 million with the Calatrava, and it's only $220 without?
Correct.
Okay, so out of $220, how much of that, and does that include pedestrian and bicycle components?
The $220 does not.
How much would that cost if we're just doing plain vanilla without Calatrava? How much would the incremental cost be?
I don't know.
But it's most likely not going to be $92 million.
Most likely not.
Because we built, you know the numbers better than I do, but we built the first Calatrava bridge for $113. Is that
correct? Levy.
Okay, roughly $113.
The first Calatrava bridge.
We have a lot of additional expenses with this bridge, but my point is, if we did the first Calatrava bridge for $113 million, it's not going to cost $92 million just to do a pedestrian bike bridge over the same span. So it seems to me that we are extravagantly wasting funds on a project that is arguably not necessary when we have, you know, we have the prize. We already have the Calatrava bridge. Let's be frugal in this economy. And it's symbolic as well. We have folks who are very challenged in their personal finances, and I think it's in many ways offensive to them to extend these type of funds on this grand project when we already have a grand project taking construction right now. So I can't support this project, and I wish we would. Here's what I'm most afraid of, Jill. I'm afraid that we are going to end up working with Mr. Calatrava, spending $10.7 million on his design. He may say, City of Dallas, I need another $3 million to continue looking at this project. We spend those dollars, $10, $11, $12, $15 million, on a design of a potential pedestrian bike component to this bridge. And then at the end of the day, we discover we can't afford to build his expensive bike pedestrian bridge. It's going to cost $100 million. No one on this council is going to support that, spending that money on a bike pedestrian bridge. And at the end of the day, what's going to happen? We're going to have a plain Jane I-30 bridge, and we're not going to even get a pedestrian bike bridge at all. And we've expended taxpayer dollars as well as funds given to the city on a design that will never be built and that just will be a showcase as a model. And I'm deeply worried about this. I think it sends the wrong message. I understand the desire to build grand, beautiful things, but I think we've got that already, and I think we have an opportunity to make some basic improvements that are desperately needed and also get some critical bicycle pedestrian components done as well. I just think this is a really, really bad choice at this time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
And at this time, I would like just to recognize Craig Holcomb, who's here, and I pray that with you, Craig. And we're also Mr. Dave McAtee, the president of Trinity Commons. Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, ma'am. And I appreciate you introducing former Councilman Holcomb and David McAtee. Mr. McAtee is a practicing attorney and is a volunteer president of the Trinity Commons Foundation. Craig is the executive director of Trinity Commons Foundation, and both lead a group of citizens in Dallas. Their heart and soul has been, since the origin of our Trinity project, to move us forward. Many times as a council, we've talked about leadership on issues, ladies and gentlemen. Today's just another day. We talked earlier today about payday lending, and the issue as it relates to leadership gap for Dallas and leadership in the state legislature. Our Trinity project is but another one of the stepping stones of leadership for Dallas in the long term. This item that we have in front of us today, Addendum 4, is good news for Dallas. We should be celebrating a $5 million private donation to our Trinity Trust that will further bring economic development and improve transportation to Dallas. It opens the doors to Oak Cliff and West Dallas and the western part of our city, Oak Cliff
in West Dallas. Our commitment to the Trinity Project is symbolized by the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge, the Trinity Audubon Center, and this Margaret Redundant Bridge. The I-30 bridge that Ms. Hunt asked Joe about, TxDOT has clearly said it needs to be replaced, and they want to get replaced as soon as possible. Our question is the council, leadership again, is do we want more than just a standard TxDOT bridge? We have partnered, and I want to thank our city manager, Mary Soon, who has been relentless in partnering with all of the citizens here, with our TxDOT, Texas Department of Transportation friends, with Federal Highway, with private funds, and our both Kay Bailey Hutchison, John Cornyn, Eddie Bernice Johnson, Pete Sessions, Jeb Henserling, our state, federal representatives to say, how can we pull this together? Clearly, we need to step forward and say we want more than just a standard bridge, TxDOT bridge. And respectfully, Ms. Hunt, I disagree. I do think that an improved signature-style I-30 Margaret McDermott Bridge will bring economic development to my district, to Ms. Hassel's district, to Mr. Salazar's district. We live, we breathe, we work, we play there. It is an important extension of downtown to Oak Cliff, downtown to West Dallas. And that is part and parcel of what we're here for. I want to remind the council members and those that are here from the city and from public that there's no additional city dollars involved in what's proposed today. No additional city dollars. I want to remind the council that what we have in front of us is an opportunity to make a statement long-term for Dallas to add pedestrian and bike access. Again, this is great news for Dallas. I'm excited. When this issue came to the Trinity River Corridor Project Committee 2 weeks ago, we heard a presentation. We had good round of an hour-plus round of questions and answers. The committee voted unanimously to recommend this to the full council. Unanimously to the full council. And so I'm excited about it. My constituents are excited about it. I have talked long and hard about the changes that are coming, at least to my district in Oak Cliff, as it relates to all areas around the Margaret McDermott Bridge and positive changes. I'm excited about Mr. Salazar and Ms. Hasso can speak for their constituents in and around it. This is a defining moment again for Dallas to keep us moving forward. So with that, Mayor, Council, I move approval.
As we move in second, Ms. Hill, please.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hunt, I will fight to the death for your right to say what you wish to say. Likewise, I vehemently disagree with all that you say. This item is good for the city of Dallas. The Calatrava is good for the city of Dallas. Our partners in Congress, our local partners at the Trinity Trust, the Trinity Foundation, Trinity Commons, have all worked for years, as Mr. Edmund has said, with the idea that we would have a second signature bridge. The $92 million came to Dallas because of our very fine congressional delegation with the understanding that the money would be used for signature components. That money did not come to us with the idea that we would bridge TxDOT's funding gap. I hesitate to use the Dallas Morning News as a source of veracity. I have dealt with the Dallas Morning News, and oftentimes I wonder if they and I are in the same place. The Dallas Morning News has a right to its opinion, but they are wrong. The Calatrava is for the long-term health and economic development of my city. My city, that is an international city. And therefore, I do not believe that it is extravagant to have two Calatravas. I think it is pooped on the part of this council. Again, I reiterate what Ms. Jordan said. A bridge lasts for at least 50 years. TxDOT may be broke for 50 years, but that was TxDOT's problem. It is not my obligation as a leader of a fine international city to take care of TxDOT's short-term problem. TxDOT is a good partner with us, but their responsibility is to build a basic bridge. Our responsibility is to go above and beyond to a place that we believe is right for this, our international city. It does make sense to move forward as we're moving forward. It is prudent to do so, and it is short-sighted not to do so. This one again is my good friend. I pay attention to the words you say. And you say folks are personally challenged at this time in their personal finances. I agree, because at my house, my personal finances are challenged. However, my personal finances will be no less challenged by the building of this bridge. Not one $10 of the $92 million will help to pay my mortgage or that nice bill that Atmos sends me. And therefore, I cannot agree that because we personally, the state, and the nation are in a position of fiscal challenge at this moment, that we should do less for our city. As to what will happen in the future with our relationship with Mr. Calatrava, Ms. Hume and her staff have brought us an exceptional proposal. Exceptional. Not just good, but exceptional. And they will not let this council and this city down in future negotiations. They are not going to allow Mr. Calatrava to back out of his agreement or to allow us not to be able to build what is designed. I have confidence in Ms. Shin and her staff that they will make this happen. Additionally, I have confidence in our outside partners. Craig Holcomb doesn't come to all of these meetings because he enjoys being at the council again. He comes down here because he and the others, our private partners, will make sure that this gets done. This is Dallas. That's the way we do things. We do it in a big way because we have people who love and care for this city. And our private partners will see to it that this bridge gets done. The Trinity is a premier project, not only for Dallas, but for this country. I will not back away from the signature element because we are in a temporary challenged financial position. I am absolutely for this. Mr. Newman, I agree with you. It's a good day for Dallas. We should be celebrating. I reiterate, for my good friend, Ms. Hunt, and we are good friends, you have a right to say what you say, but I believe you are absolutely wrong. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Ms. Margolin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to start by commenting on the Dallas Morning News article this morning because I was very shocked and concerned to see that in the, I think, first paragraph or first sentence it said, today the Dallas City Council is going to decide whether or not to spend $10 million to pay Calatrava. And that is absolutely not what is happening. And I want to set the record straight for anybody who is under the false impression that that is what may happen today. We are, first of all, this agenda item is to accept $5 million from the Trinity Trust as a private donation made by an anonymous donor. Second of all, additional funds, $3.5 million, if in fact we do end up developing another contract with Calatrava, which we're not exactly sure is going to happen yet, but if that's the case, $3.5 million of that would come from the Council of Governments, the state through the Council of Governments, and the remaining funds were unused funds from the previous Calatrava contract that was also privately donated. So that is where the $10.6 million is coming from. It is not coming from the City of Dallas coffers, and I think it's really critical that people understand that and that that correction be put on the record. In addition, the $92 million that has been allocated by the federal government, as was said before, was money that was fought for by our delegation, our senators, our congressmen. It was a bipartisan effort on behalf of the City of Dallas, and the purpose of that money was to enhance the bridge that the state builds. The state money, the $220 million, that's their contribution to this. And whether we do the Calatrava component or not, the state would be paying $220 million. And so I want that financial information to be out there very, very clearly, because the Calatrava component is not coming from the City of Dallas. And I don't want to leave the impression that it is. I think it's very important to set the record straight. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Margolin. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, let me ask the question. When we have articles like this that's printed in the Dallas Morning News, do we go back and do a recap of correcting what the amounts are and where the private source is coming from?
No, ma'am, not formally. No.
Okay. Because, you know, when you have articles like that, a lot of people are reading the paper, and some people believe that that is true, and when it's not true. And somehow I would think that we would have to go back to the editorial or the editorial board and say, well, wait a minute, this is not true. This is what's really happening with the situation. As Ms. Hill has said, as Ann has said, the amounts has been broken out. Even Jill broke out the figures. And this is just not right information that's going out there.
Well, we try to give accurate information to the newspaper. The newspaper writes a newspaper article. You know, I don't, they have a right to write what they want to write.
Absolutely.
And so
that's kind of it at the end of the day. You write what you write, and you believe what you believe, and you move forward, huh? Okay. Well, I am going to be supporting this agenda item, and I do agree. I think it's good for Dallas, and Jill, you have worked extremely hard on this, trying to just keep it all together. I remember you've given us a list of breakdowns, and I still have my list. We asked for it about a year ago about how much it's going to cost. Where's all the funding coming from? And you put private source, you put city funding, you put the Trinity Trust amount, and you've given us that big picture of projects that you thought was priorities. And so now that helps me to understand where funding is coming from, so I'm not quickly to ask where is the source of funding, because I now have it in black and white. That was a part of that spreadsheet that you gave us a year ago. I just want to put it out there. So nothing has changed. It's the same amount, the same thing that you talked to us a year ago when we asked for a breakdown of the spreadsheet. And we want to know on all the projects, especially the signature bridges, where the source of funding was coming from. And you put those amounts in there. Okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Davis. Mr. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. With Mr. Newman, I shared the Margaret Montgomery Bridge, which is what it's going to be called. And certainly the component of Calatrava has been something that's been considered for that bridge. Actually, when we first started, we wanted five bridges. When we talked about it to the voters in the bond elections, we told them we could see envision four, potentially even five bridges. And they were approved back in the bond election in the 90s. And as time went on, and of course we encountered issues regarding lawsuits that delayed construction, and more lawsuits, and then issues regarding the levies. It takes perseverance to get a project done in this city. It takes a lot of perseverance. My hearts go out to all the people who volunteered for all those years. The Trinity Trust of it was created and now moves forward. The Trinity Commons. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes vision. It takes a commitment. We are fortunate to have people in our staff who are here and have been here for many years who have kept the vision and work with council members and mayors and managers and city attorneys and secretaries and on and on and on. We have a vision for the city. That vision is formed by all the council members and the mayor, and is formed based upon meetings and meetings and elections of our citizens of Dallas. I agree that just because we have a short-term issue regarding our economy, it should not sway us away from our vision. Many years ago, Dallas went through a drought. And before that drought, everyone had ideas of how they should maintain the water levels in Dallas and how they should do it. But when that drought hit, they created a vision. And that vision was to create one of America's largest water systems. And today, we have that system in place. Between that time frame and today, we have had depressions. We have had recessions. We have had issues regarding finances, and but the vision has stayed the same and maintained. Now, this is not as grandiose as that, as being that is water is life to us. But the vision is that, you know, we had a vision that less than 10 years ago, we have maintained the vision that we were going to bring back downtown. We invested and teamed up with our arts district to create part of one of the premier arts districts in the city. We create the Link Sphere, AT&T. We're doing a downtown deck park now. And this is only one other component. But I will tell you, everything we do in this council, and I've been here 14 years, no one remembers the little things we do. The things that are important to people's lives, you know, they appreciate them, but in the long term, what they're going to remember, for me, for example, is, you know, they complained about Singleton for many years, and it took us 22 years to get it done because it was a joint project with the county. That was from 1988 or 89 bond program. We got it done 3 years ago. People came up and said, "Fellow, finally you're doing something. You fixed the Singleton Boulevard." Well, you know. And now that this bridge is going up, the Margaret Huntsville Bridge, you know, they saw the arch go up and they said, "You know what? And we have to finally they're paying attention to us." And people always complain, well, it doesn't go anywhere. But yes, it does. It goes to West Dallas. It goes to thousands of residents who for many years have felt that the city really hasn't done much for them. And now they're going to be connected to downtown. They can drive from West Dallas actually to the Deck Park directly without having to get off on a stoplight. They can get on to 35, they can get on to 30, they can get on to 45, 75, through Woodall Rogers. So now, you know, this area of town has more accessibility. It's going to get another bridge, which is Sylvian. Sylvian will also consider a Calatrava bridge. We have made other accommodations because Sylvian is not going to be, quote unquote, the signature part, but it is going to be, the signature bridge. There's going to be a bridge, and then it's going to have pedestrian and access to the Trinity. So, and then we'll be Continental. So, all this fits in place with the vision that we have to make this city not only known for its arts, but also known for its architecture, and but also known for its ability to provide clean, open spaces to go and run and jog and hike. And we didn't have to displace communities to do it. We were able to use the asset that we have as a Trinity. And the community in West Dallas, where there's a lot of children, are going to be able to enjoy that for future generations. So with that, I'm going to be supportive. Appreciate Ms. Hunt. I think it's very valid positions as far as fiscal responsibility. But in this case, we have a vision. We have funds that were not provided from taxpayers, but actually from private contributions that are targeted for this specific item in this specific way. If we were doing a vote to say general fund money, then certainly I think that would be a different discussion. But we're using private funds today, and I certainly approve that. And I appreciate all the hard work that the Trinity groups have done, the Commons, the Trinity Trust. And certainly, you know, Mr. Newman, as leader of the Trinity Committee, you know, you should be congratulated for being an advocate for the Trinity. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Salazar. Mr. Salazar, Mr. McKenzie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, Ms. Margolin hit the key point that I was going to bring up, is that there seems to be a misconception when you read that article that the City Council was going to vote today to extend additional money, and she clarified that very succinctly. This is a visionary project. We've been on track with it for a number of years. The fact that we have just closed the funding gap to do our part of this, and then we are surprised by the state coming in and seemingly trying to dip into our pockets on this, disturbs me. Much as they're doing in the legislature right now, they're trying to balance the state budget on the backs of the City of Dallas, taxpayers and citizens. I think this is one of those things where we each went forward knowing what our challenges would be to complete this project. We've achieved our goal, and now it seems to me they're looking at us and say, ooh, they got their part of it. Let's just take their part and we'll take it over to our part. That's not a fair deal. This money is not fungible, in my opinion, between those three separate distinct parties. We need to hold our line on this, and we need to make sure that the state brings their piece of the funding together to get this bridge completed. It is going to be good for the city. It is a visionary project. Mr. Salazar mentioned the lakes. You can talk about DFW Airport. You can talk about what we did with Central Expressway. We could have just paved a road like everybody else paved a road, but we didn't. We tried to make something that would stand for the future of the city. This is the second bridge, and once we get this one done, we need to start working on that third one, if we could just find somebody whose first name is Margaret. Thank you.
thank you, Mr. Natinsky. I'm going to continue with the third round, and Ms. Hunt, I'll let you start the second round, and we'll see it in the first round. Mr. Allams and Ms. Hossel.
Those are good comments, Mr. Natinsky. You're right. TxDOT has responsibilities. As a matter of fact, just this last time, we, the City of Dallas, we had to step up and spend, over $6 million of really what was TxDOT's response, our taxpayers in the City of Dallas. That's what their responsibility was. So we have to be careful that we do not continue to do what TxDOT is responsible for. I want to echo with Mr. Holcomb, thank you for your vision. And that you all the fine years of your work that you've done for this great city of Dallas. Also want to do a big shout out to Dr. Gail Thomas and Mary McDermott, two outstanding visionary leaders. They do not know the word plain vanilla. They do not know that word. So big thank you for them, Councilman Newman. I will be supporting this and appreciate your leadership on the Trinity Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. Hossel, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I will also be supporting this item. We were briefed at committee, and all of those questions were asked during that time frame, so I want to thank Jill again for being responsive. I also want to thank everyone who has worked on this project. I know, you know, as a newbie, I've only seen it for a couple of years, but having been born and raised here in Dallas, in the Oak Cliff section of Dallas, this is huge. This is definitely a good day for the city. To my colleagues, and I want to say, especially to Councilwoman Hill, you've eloquently corrected the bad information. So thank you so much for your words and for Ann Margolin. In addition to that, we want to be sure that good information is out there, not bad. This is a good thing for the city. It's good for connectivity for West Dallas and Oak Cliff. It will remind people that Dallas does not end at downtown. And for many years, we've had a bad perception of the other side of the river. And so these bridges, in my opinion, will stop that perception. So thank you again, City Manager, and everyone that's worked on this for so many years. This is good for the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hossel. Mr. Cabane, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also will be backing this project
Ms. Hill said, this is the premier project, I believe, in our city coming up. This area, our developers are going to move into this area once they realize what we're doing down there. And once we do start building, and we need to do everything we do in the Trinity with a flare. And you'll see that whole area down there is going to come up, and I believe it's the next spot that our developers are going to see needs to be done, and it'll be coming soon, hopefully. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cadane. Ms. Koo, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I won't repeat, you know, all that's been said here today. I think council members have eloquently spoken to the issue, and I'll be voting in favor to move this project forward. I will say that we're working, all of us, very hard with our partners, TxDOT, and with the state it's Dallas this time. It's Dallas this time for funding for transportation. I think all the RTC members will agree with me. We've been very patient with our partners across the region, and our three top projects, I-30, I-35, SMLite, those are our three top projects, and it's our time to now push those forward with the state. And we've begun to line that up at RTC, and I thank our partners on the council that sit on that committee. And we've had conversations with TxDOT and had a conversation with the commissioners, and I think that all in the region will agree that now is our time. Now is our time. We've been patient, and now is our time to aggregate all those funding sources, and I think we will. I think we'll be very successful. From what I see and the sources of funds that may be available in the future and even those that come from the past, I think we will be successful. We'll be successful in all three of our projects. So I think, thank you, Ms. Hill, today is a good day. We received some additional funding that we hadn't anticipated. We thank the Trinity Trust for that, and it's time to move forward.
Thank you very much, Ms. Coop. Ms. Madrona, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I think everyone has said plenty as a positive day today, but I think that we need to push forward to make sure that this project goes across the finish line. Ms. Hacko and I traveled to Sevilla, Spain, a couple of weeks ago, and I had not ever seen a Calatrava bridge in person, and it was amazing. The bridge is amazing. It is a pedestrian bicycle bridge. It is not going to be like the bridge or bridges that we're going to have here, and of course two side by side, which is extraordinary. It is a much smaller bridge, but you can't help it when you drive in that area, outside of downtown area. It is the most extraordinary thing that you could see. It is different from the other bridges. It is suspended. It is illuminated. And you see folks all hours of the day and night just going to just to capture this vision in this great city. So I can hardly wait to see these two bridges side by side. It's a good thing for our city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to start a second round prior to starting it. Let's take just a moment and recognize the students from South Oak Cliff High School. South Oak Cliff, and that was a 12th grade student. We want to thank you all for being here. You are watching government in action, all right? That's what you're doing. And South Oak Cliff is in my district. That's real clear about that. All right. Ms. Hunt, we'll begin your second round, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mary, a couple of questions. One, did Calatrava ever increase his contract with the city when he was doing the first bridge?
For design fee, no.
For design. Okay, so his design fee stayed the same. Did the cost of construction ever go up?
Well, yes.
But we also, during that process, the original design was value engineered, and that we had a negotiation that value engineered brought that cost down.
Right. So we didn't have to pay, are you sure that we didn't have to pay him any more on his contract? That his original contract was it, and we didn't have to spend more on that? I mean, you know.
I don't believe so. The on the Margaret Hill, We didn't do a change order. I think what you're thinking of is under the first...
There were two agenda items. It was done in two pieces. It's looking over the history of this.
Right.
It was done in two pieces, but the total cost of...
So the design fee didn't change. What changed was the cost of the project.
Well, over time, yeah, there was some... We had to deal with how much does it cost. We did some value engineering and lowered that. So, yeah, when the design came in, it was more than originally we thought it would be. We value engineered it back down.
On the first I-30 contract, what you might be remembering is we took his fee to you all in phases so that you all authorized
that's what
the next...
Two pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are two agenda items about his fee from the first one.
So I guess my other question is, and Mary, you kind of addressed this, but I'd be interested if you know just ballpark figures, and Jill, I bet you do. How much did we think the bridge was going to cost, and then how much did it cost?
For which bridge?
The first one.
Rebecca, I'm remembering.
I mean, what were our first?
I think initially it was around 40, 50, something like that, and it ended up costing 69.7.
And there's a considerable period of time between that two.
Right.
One advantage of this situation is it's got to be designed and built, you know, looking at letting this time next year, or in the summer of next year. So
okay.
But won't have that cost of increases of materials.
Can we get that in writing?
Probably not. But
okay.
But we won't have as many years strung out, and that doesn't help you in construction when you've got all those
Let me ask this, because I'm confused by what some of my colleagues have said versus what the agenda item says. So I understand we got $5 million as a gift, and then we had additional funds that had already been gifted to us. But we are augmenting those funds, are we not? Because the financing here of the $10.7 million that we're paying Mr. Calatrava for engineering and design services is financed by IH-30 bridge donation funds of $7,188,500 and 2006 bond funds of $3.5 million. Now, I understand that the RTC may reimburse us for the $3.5 million.
Right.
Do we have that in writing?
No, we're still working on that.
We're working on that. So I think it's inaccurate for us to say that there are no tax dollars here, that there is no public money from the City of Dallas citizens. Right. That's how we fund our bond funds. Those aren't magic dollars that come, you know, from beyond.
The cost has been a very faithful partner to us and has not let us down. And
I think that's great. And if the COG were listed on this agenda item, I wouldn't have too much of a problem with it. But they're not. It's taxpayer-funded bond money that's on here.
Ms. Hunt, we, lots of projects advanced money that was replaced, and that's by another source, and that's the intent here. And as Jill says, they have done that.
Mary, I understand what the intent is. What I'm saying is... We don't have a guarantee here, and we don't have another funding source aside from taxpayer-funded bonds funding $3.5 million. So I think it's disingenuous of folks to say that none of this is paid from City of Dallas taxpayers. It is. It clearly is. It's on the agenda item. So that being said, I hope my colleagues understand that I'm not opposed to projects that are large projects that can have a real impact on our citizens. Great park projects, I think, can be remarkable investments for the future of our city. I don't just think all of our tax dollars have to be spent on filling potholes or mowing medians, but I do believe that in these economic times, it doesn't make sense for us to spend extra tax dollars, public funds, taxpayer money, on elaborate architectural construction when we have real infrastructure needs. That's my point. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hunt. Let me chime in now and say that, Ms. Hill, you and I don't always agree.
Barely.
But let me tell you something.
Mark it down.
We're going to mark it down. But you were on target. And I want to say that. And to Mr. Salazar, when you spoke about West Dallas and the fact that the bridge offers hope, finally, and when you look at the Golden Gate Bridge, you go to St. Louis and you see the Golden Arch, and you take those under consideration. Even when you go to Galveston and you go over the big bridge and you come down off of that big bridge, you folks look forward in approaching those bridges. If indeed we're going to be the city that can and the city that we want folks to appreciate and know that we are a city that get things done, then we have to keep up with the Joneses, and we have to stay ahead of the curve. Had we stayed on our heels and not did the Central Expressway, and to do it in a fashion to where it will be something that folks can have a great appreciation for years to come. Who would have thought that Central Expressway, the old Central Expressway that was all tight with four lanes going both ways, would have been developed into what it is today. And we got to have leadership and we got to have vision. Craig, you and David and Gail and Ms. McDermott, all of them, everyone has been involved with this project. And Gil, you've just been a trooper. I want to say that to you. Dave, I appreciate your leadership on it. I appreciate this council for having the vision and the fortitude to move forward with making sure that Dallas stays on the map as the leader, because a lot of people are taking notes after us and are copycatting. And we give them something every single day that we get up and represent this city, because we are a city that can and a city that's getting things done. So I want to say those things to say that one thing I like to look forward to seeing one day, and that is a connector. And I'm just throwing this out. I got to get my pitch in. I want I-35 and I-30. I want the folks from Oak Cliff to be able to connect direct to I-30. I don't know what has prevented us from doing that. I understand it's something, but coming off of it, instead of having to get off and go a different direction, I want that direct connection at some future point for I-35 and the folks in Oak Cliff to be able to go straight to I-30 without having to get off and go through the scenic routes and all those things. I have to get my point in, and there may be some reason why we have not done it. Maybe something that would prevent us from doing it. Whatever it is, we need to clear that up as quickly as we can. With that, there's a motion on the floor. Are you ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Record vote. Record vote has been requested. Madam Secretary, when you ready?
Mr. Mayor, I voted on the motion. Voting in favor of the motion, Mayor Caraway, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Council Members Cadane, Newman, Koop, Natinsky, Salazar, Atkins, Hill, Davis, Hossel, Margolin, and Allen. Voting no, Council Member Hunt. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you. All right. Madam Secretary, let's take up item number 29.
Item number 29 is authorizing an amendment to the Municipal Maintenance Interlocal Agreement with the Texas Department of Transportation to authorize the city to mow, clean, and control litter on state highways right-of-ways.
Ms. Margolin, please.
Thank you. This seems to be the morning to talk about TxDOT. I pulled this because when I read it, I was concerned that it obligates the city for 5 years to continue to take care of TxDOT right-of-way at a set price. And I wanted to make sure that it was not that the agreement is subject to annual appropriations. And I visited yesterday with Mr. Turner, Mr. Perkins, Mr. Ernst, and did receive assurances that is the case. But I wanted it to be stated for the record. And so, Mr. Turner, why don't you talk a little bit about what you told me?
So the item that's here for consideration would in fact incorporate the March 9th agenda item, which was awarding a one-year contract with two renewal options for mowing and litter pickup on Texas Department of Transportation right-of-way. That would incorporate that into this agreement, and the city is not committed for $17 million for the 5 years. It's an annual appropriation consideration.
And I'm fine with that. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't locking ourselves into a set amount for 5 years. And so I'm comfortable with it. So I will move approval.
As we move and approve, as we moved and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And Madam Secretary, I think we're going to take up 73, 74, 75 individually, but they're going to require 2 seconds.
Did you want to go to 44 on the conflict first?
Yeah, well, let's go to 44 on the conflict, then we can bring Ms. Hill back. Item number 44.
Okay. Item 44 is authorized acquisition, including the exercise of the right of eminent domain, if such becomes necessary, from John H. Adams and Dolly D. Adams, of approximately 11,669 square feet of land located near the intersection of Telephone and Bunnyview Roads for the Southwest 120 over 96 inch water transmission pipeline project.
Just need a motion.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. All right, moved and second. All in favor? Any opposed? Madam Secretary, 73.
Item 73.
Yes.
Item 73 is authorized a release of lien on real property located at 1844 South Boulevard, Dallas, Texas, number 215, held as collateral for a loan made by the South Dallas Fireport Trust Fund to One Tax Man Incorporated. It requires 2 seconds, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Is that motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second. All right. If you move a second, there's 1 second. Is that another second?
Second.
All right, 2 seconds. Mr. Atkins and Ms. Margolin. I mean, Ms. Hartso. Mr. Atkins, please. Okay. All right, it's been moved to second. All in favor? Any opposed? Madam Secretary, 74.
Item 74 is authorized an on-site reconstruction of 10 homes in accordance with the requirements of the Reconstruction Share Program Statement for the properties located at 1533 Maywood Avenue in the amount of $93,400, 2831 Berger Avenue in the amount of $93,400, 2002 Idaho Avenue in the amount of $93,400, 1119 Bunnyview Road in the amount of $93,400, 3307 Jerome Street in the amount of $93,400, 2331 Hustis Avenue in the amount of $93,400. 418 Bunnyview Road in the amount of $93,400. 3230 Reynolds Avenue in the amount of $93,400. 4109 Marshall Drive in the amount of $93,400. And 3529 Cawthorn Drive in the amount of $93,400. Total amount not to exceed $934,000.
One second, is there another second? All right, we're moving second properly. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Secretary, 75.
Item 75 is authorized the execution of a conditional grant agreement from the City Center's Tax Increment Financing TIF District Fund to Hamilton Atmos LP for the conversion of vacant office property building located at 1900 Jackson Street into 107 affordable residential units and residential amenities. 53 parking spaces located in the basement of 1900 Jackson Street and 1815 Wood Street, and streetscape and repair of all first floor windows and storefronts in the entire Atmos complex located at 1900 Jackson Street, 1850 Wood Street, and 1915 Wood Street, and 301 South Harwood Street.
Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second. All right. It's been promptly moved and second. All in favor? Any opposed? Madam Secretary, item number 5 on the addendum.
Addendum 5, Mr. Mayor, is authorize a public hearing to be held on April the 27th, 2011 to receive comments to consider an amendment to the Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone 2. City Place Area TIF District Project Plan and Reinvestment Zone Financing Plan Project Plan.
to, number one, increase the total city place area TIF budget from $22,046,000to $22,230,084, an increase of $184,084. Number two, increase the street utility intersection improvement budget line item from $7,339,091 to $7,523,175, an increase of $184,084. And three, update table two, budget for city place area infrastructure improvements to reflect these amendments under the authority of the Tax Increment Financing Act. And at the close of the public hearing, consideration of an ordinance amending ordinance number 21465 and 21769 to reflect these amendments.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Can I get another second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and probably second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Secretary, let's go to 71 and 72.
Yes, sir. Item 71 is consideration of an appointment to boards and commissions and the evaluation of boards and commissions. I don't have anything unless the staff brings me something on those, but I do have appointments on item number 72 for consideration and appointment of members to the Dallas Area Transit Board of Directors for places 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and Ms. Coop is responsible for that item.
All right, let's go to Ms. Coop. Ms. Coop?
Mr. Mayor, I move approval of the resolution to reappoint Claude Williams, Pamela Dunlight Gates, Mitzong William Sal, William Lasco, and Jerry Christian to serve on the Dallas Area Rapid Transit Board of Directors in places 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, respectively, for a term to expire on June 30, 2013, as recommended by the City Council Transportation and Environment Committee.
Is there a motion? That's been properly moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay.
Ms. Hill wants to be shown in one second.
Okay.
All right. Motion approved, okay? All right. That's not a second. All right. Council, it is 11:10. Now, we're done for now for the morning session. We will not have an executive session. You are free to roam around until 1 o'clock. And so let me say 5 minutes to 1. Roam around. So 5 minutes to 1, we're to reconvene here. At 5 minutes to 1, we will reconvene and start officially at 1 o'clock. We stand in recess. At
1. Mr. Mayor, we do have a quorum at this time. Ms. Davis just walked into the room, so we want to start with the zoning consent.
Yeah, let's start with the zoning consent.
The zoning consent starts with item number 76 and ends with item number 85. Councilmember Atkins has requested that item number 76 be removed from the zoning consent, and Councilmember Hosso has requested that item number 85 be removed from the zoning consent.
Okay.
Ready to follow?
Yes.
Ready? Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes. And item number 77 we're going to hold. All right, we'll come back to 77.
You want
to hold
77 from the...
Yeah, let's just move it out.
Okay.
Okay.
And item number 77. Ms. Margola.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll go from 78 to...
Yes, sir.
84, 86.
Okay. Item 78 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for commercial amusement use limited to a Class A dance hall on property zone, a commercial service district on the east side of North Stemmons Freeway, north of Wiggle Road. Item 79 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an open enrollment charter school on property zone, a limited office district, office 3 district with deed restrictions on the north side of West Illinois Avenue between South Vernon Avenue and Winwood Drive. Item 80 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise food store use greater than 3,500 square feet on property zone, a community retail district with a dry liquor control overlay on the east side of Beltline Road, south of Siegelville Road. Item 81 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting a neighborhood service district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property zoning a single-family district on the southwest corner of East Illinois Avenue and Julia Shepherd Freeway. Item 82 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and a resolution accepting the termination of deed restrictions limiting motor vehicles and related uses on property zoned mixed-use district on the south line of Forest Avenue, Forest Lane, at the intersection of Forest Lane and Interstate 635. Item 83 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a metal salvage facility on property zoned Plan Development District Number 406, the Ledbetter Eagle Ford Special Purpose District on the southeast corner of Cartwright Street and Ritchie Street. Item 84 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a commercial amusement use for a dance hall on property zoned a commercial service district with a dry liquor control overlay on the northeast corner of Sea Pond Freeway, southeast of East Road. Item 86 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting for a specific use permit for the sale of alcohol beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use greater than 3,500 square feet on property zoned a community retail district with a dry liquor control overlay on the south side of Sayene Road, west of Sam Houston Road. I have read into the record item 78 through item 84, and in addition, item number 86. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on any of the items that I've just read into the record? Anyone want to speak on any of the items just read into the record? Mr. Mayor, there appears to be no.
I move approval of the consent of zoning agenda.
Second. I move the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Let's take item 77, Ms. Margolin.
Okay, you want that one read into the record?
Yes, let me have it read into the record first, Ms. Margolin.
Okay.
Madam Secretary.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor.
A public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a cemetery or mausoleum on property zoned a multifamily subdistrict within Plan Development District Number 193, the Oakland Special Purpose District, and an ordinance granting determination of a portion of Special Use Permit Number 113 on the south corner of Howell Street and Lemon Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 129 notices to property owners for 403 of their requests. We received 4 replies in favor and 3 replies in opposition.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission at this time? Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Peter Cavanaugh. My address is 1620 Handley Drive, Dallas. Representing Temple Emanuel Cemetery Association, to request for a specific use permit for a cemetery. What happened is that the City of Dallas and the Cemetery Association exchanged a little bit of property, so we're incorporating the exchanged property into the cemetery and adding a little repair shop and removing the old repair shop, and that's all we're asking to do and answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers? Mr. Mayor, that appears to be
one more.
Mayor Washington, you had mentioned the dance hall. I'm a little bit late, but I believe we have enough dance halls in Dallas, Texas, so I oppose that one.
Is that all, Ms. Washington?
Yes, sir.
All right, Ms. Margolin, please.
Yes, I wanted to speak to this because although it's in District 14 and Ms. Hunt is not here, she knows that I'm going to speak to this. This is a really significant case that has taken 12 years to come to the council. It creates an SUP for the Temple Emmanuel Cemetery, but the story behind it is really interesting. When Temple Emmanuel was going to expand into some additional property that it has about 12 years ago, they realized that underground are about 1,200 historic African-American burials, and that this is adjacent, this is in the portion of the Temple Emmanuel Cemetery that's adjacent to Freedman's Cemetery. And so clearly they realized that this piece of property had to be in essence repatriated with the Freedman's property. And so that has been done. That property will now be maintained by the Uptown Kid, which will be upgrading the landscaping and making it more of a benefit to Uptown, as well as greater recognition of the Freedman's property. And so that's one thing that's going to be happening. But this has taken an incredibly long time because it had to be overseen and stamped approval by, I have a list here, by Preservation Dallas, the Oak Lawn Committee, the Uptown Public Improvement District, the Texas Historical Commission, which evaluated two archaeological surveys, and most important, representatives of the Freedman Cemetery Association. This has, just reading this list does not even begin to tell you how involved this was. And I particularly want to recognize a gentleman who's here today, Michael Loewenberg, who has shepherded this along for lo these many years. And so this is not just a little case. This is something that is really significant. And at the time that there is in the future a groundbreaking, that a celebration, we will be inviting the entire council, because this is really something that's significant. So okay. I move approval.
Second. I shall move in second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Madam Secretary, thank you, Ms. Margo. Madam Secretary, let's go to item number 76.
Okay. Item 76 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an amendment to the Tract 2A portion of Plan Development District Number 598 for property along the south line of Fruitland Road east of Hampton Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 61 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. We received 2 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor?
Mr. Atkins, please.
Yes. I move to close the public hearing and approve item number 76 for the City Plan Commission recommendation subject to the revision Tract 2A Development Plan, Tract 2A Landscape Plan, in condition with ordinance return the future's agenda upon submitted on the revised plan.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Madam Secretary. Let's go to item 85.
Item 85, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, ma'am.
85 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a dry liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with the general merchandise or food store use 3,500 square feet or less on property zone, a community retail district with a dry liquor overlay at the northwest corner of West Jefferson Boulevard and North Rigdon Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, within 37 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their area of request, received 2 replies in favor and 7 replies in opposition.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor?
Ms. Hospital, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This particular item is an application for a permit to sell beer and wine in an area that is very close to Sunset High School, very close to a brand new park. So at this moment I want to hold it under advisement I move to hold this item under advisement until June 22nd, 2011, with the public hearing held open.
Second.
Has been moved and seconded to hold this under advisement. Is there a motion? We have a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Ms. Hansel. Madam Secretary, item number 87.
Item 87 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a bail bonds office on property zoned as Plan Development District Number 784, the Trinity River Corridor Special Purpose District, at the southeast corner of the Union Boulevard and the Riverfront Boulevard.
Apologies. Mr. Mayor, we sent 11 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the request. We received 4 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor?
Mr. Mayor, Salvador Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, M5202, representing the applicant in this case. All we're asking for is that at your last hearing, there was another bail bond office that was approved on property adjacent to it. That they'll be given the 3-year SUP with 3-year automatic renewals. We ask that that be mirrored on this application, which is the adjacent lot next to us. Both instances were installing more landscaping than's required. In this instance, we've taken an old liquor store and converted it into an office space, a coffee shop, and 400 to 600 square foot. And so we just ask that our SUP be granted for a 3-year term with 3-year renewals. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Madrona, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Santos, for being here. As I recall, on the corner of Reunion and Riverfront, there was a liquor store, and the property, the owners there, did a combination. They split this location at the very front, and the larger part of the building is now a lawyer's office. And then there's a small section there that they're going to have been working with folks from Trinity Strand, Katy Trail, and folks from the Oak Cliff Bicycle Community. And that's going to be a little coffee shop with the health theme, and they're going to have bike racks there for that location. Then the smaller section, or the back or the rear of the building, is the request for the SUP for a small bail bond office, the smallest suite of that entire location. I've met with the bail bond people, and they're here. That you see one, you see they're identical twins.
Yes,
I believe they're the only Hispanic women that are licensed to be bail bonds in the state of Texas, correct? State of Texas, and they're here. And they have been in conversation with, as I said, with some of the trail people, and they're wanting to do this the right way. So we've converted a liquor store now into three businesses there at that location. I think it's a good use, and I would like to follow, of course, the approval of this, but I want to be in sync with with the SUP that we did a few weeks back. And so I want to do the 3-year SUP with 3 automatic renewals. And I'd like to make that as a motion.
So moved in that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Congratulations. Madam Secretary, 89.
89?
89. Oh, 88. We're going to come back.
89 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a neighborhood office district on property zoned a single-family district on the southeast corner of Marine Way and Steelwell Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 39 notices to property owners with 3 feet of their request. We received 10 replies in favor and no replies in opposition. I believe Councilmember Salazar also had a motion on this item that he was considering making.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor?
Is there a motion for approval of this item?
I think Mr.
I was just wondering. I know I had spoken with Mr. Salazar earlier today about a very specific motion that he was considering making.
It was 88 or 89?
Exactly. And Mr. That's Mr. Salazar's case as well. Okay. And his district as well. Excuse me.
Okay. All right, but should we hold this till Mr. Salazar comes back for a few moments?
Move
we hold
it
until he returns.
The next day, council members.
All right.
Okay.
All right, let's go to item number 90. We're going to hold 88 and 89.
Okay. Item number 90 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an amendment to Chapter 51A, Dallas Development Code, Section 51A105.102 of the Dallas City Code, to adopt the Denton County Flood Insurance Rate Map, which become effective on April 18, 2011, as a requirement of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and at the close of the hearing, consideration of an ordinance authorizing the adoption of the Denton County Flood Insurance Rate Map. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item? Mr. Mayor?
Is there a motion to approve this item?
All approved.
Second.
All right, move and second. All in favor? Any opposed? Madam Secretary, 91.
Item 91 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an amendment to the City of Dallas Thoroughfare Plan to change the dimensional classification of Telephone Road from unnamed SE4 to Bonneville Road from a six-lane divided roadway within 107 feet of a right-of-way to a four-lane divided roadway within 80 feet of the right-of-way, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item?
Is there a motion for approval?
Second.
Move and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Secretary, 92.
92 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an amendment to the City of Dallas Thoroughfare Plan to delete Shorecrest.
That's Steve.
92 is Mr. Salazar?
Is that Mr. Salazar?
Yes. What else on the agenda belongs to Mr. Salazar? All right, so 88, 89, and 92?
Okay.
All right, we're going to hold those three. Are there any more for Mr. Salazar? Okay. Madam Secretary, go to 93.
93? Okay.
Yes.
A public hearing to receive comments on substantial amendment number 2 for the proposed use of the FY 2010-11 Consolidated Plan Reprogramming Budget number 2, Community Development Block Grant Recovery Fund, and at the close of the hearing, authorize final adoption of the FY 2010-11 Consolidated Plan Reprogramming Budget number 2, CDBG, funds. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item? Item number 93. The Mayor.
Ms. Davis.
Yes, I need staff to come up right quick, please. Thank you. This is the reprogramming dollars that was left over from CDBG dollars.
Ms. Williams is going to answer the question. I'm sorry, what was the question?
The reprogramming dollars that was left over from CDBG funds.
From the recovery programs.
Okay. Okay, how much of it was left? Was it $22,000? How much was it?
It was about $22,000. There were five contracts
were awarded.
Okay.
The terms ended in September, and these were some funds that were remaining.
Okay.
Because of the...
And on this source of funds, are these the fund? Is this the amount that we're going to give to these particular groups that's on here? Community food pantries and resources?
No, those were the programs that had the funds that were remaining.
That were remaining.
It's going to be a competitive process to award to a new provider.
Okay. So did we award those money to new providers? That's the summer youth program at Hamilton Park?
Once we council recommendation is done today, then the RFP will be completed.
Okay. 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 And so this particular use of funding will go to the summer youth program. Okay. That's what I need to know. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is there a motion for approval?
Move to approve.
Aye. Aye. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Mr. Allen made the second.
Okay.
Right. Item number 94.
Item 94 is a public hearing to receive comments on the proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as portable water beneath property owned by the Cedar Springs Investment LLC, located near the intersection of Cedar Springs Road and Manor Way, and adjacent street right-of-ways, and an ordinance authorizing the support of the issuance of the municipal setting designation to Qualex Incorporated by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and prohibit the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as portable water. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this item?
Hi, my name is Cindy Bishop with the Gardier Law Firm. I'm the environmental attorney on the application, and with me is Mitch Zimmerman with ERM. He is the professional geologist on the application, and we're just here if you have to answer any questions you might have. Thanks.
As you know, Mr. Mayor, I need to read into the record pursuant to Section 51A6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or a licensed professional engineer or professional geoscientist who is familiar with the application must be present and available to question. So that is why the speaker announced their position.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on item number 94? The mayor.
Ms. Madrona, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I would like to close the public hearing and approve item 94.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, let's go back. Well, let's get 95, and then let's get 95, and we'll go to Mr. Salazar.
Item number 95 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding adoption of the Downtown Dallas 360 Plan, which establishes a vision and strategic action plan for the core downtown area in relation to the supporting districts surrounding it, and a resolution adopting the plan. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon. I'm John Crawford, president of Downtown Dallas, Inc., and it's a real pleasure, to say the least, for me to be here and appear before you to support the hopeful adoption of Downtown Dallas 360, which we think is a critical step towards the continued progress of creating a vibrant, sustainable, and very lively city center. Downtown Dallas 360 is basically our blueprint for moving downtown forward with some things we call quick wins and bold ideas. It's really the result of a collaborative process built by work groups of property and business owners, large corporations and small businesses, real estate and transportation experts, residents, and other community organizations, which we think runs the gambit in terms of getting total community input as far as what this plan is set up to do. It's really a culmination of what people, what folks would like to see downtown, and most importantly, how we think we can work together to achieve these goals. Which is one another way of saying we think this is really a prime example of public-private partnerships, which is extremely important based on where we've been and certainly where we're going as part of this plan. We've basically had the involvement of every city department within the city of Dallas in working on putting this together and putting it before you today. Certainly, I'd like to particularly thank Carl Zavitkowski, Teresa O'Donnell, and Pierre Chaco for their efforts. They have really spearheaded this on behalf of the city with Jim Wood and Courtney Garrett from Downtown Dallas, Inc., which lends itself to the public-private partnership that I'm alluding to. I would also suggest that certainly the City Council has been very helpful in providing input as we have gone through this process over the year on really some key points in getting this thing pulled together and put in front of you today. We think without a doubt that Downtown Dallas 360 is really a critical step in moving downtown Dallas forward. It really provides a strategic direction to ensure our continued growth in what we believe is an intelligent and thoughtful manner that will guarantee our mission, if you will, for moving, for making a multi-dimensional urban district a reality that we've been working on together for so long. Even before the final release of the program, we've already started to put some things together as far as quick wins are concerned. While it may not seem like a big item, we've got things like movable, fun, and attractive furniture that's being put in some of our parks downtown, and it will be in place. Very significantly, we've got a real keen interactive lighting system that's coming in to replace some of the old lighting that we've had downtown. Certainly, design features that we've never been able to have before that we're implementing, we're moving forward on. And then I would just say that another part of the quick wins was that various ordinances and zoning situations are being implemented, obviously without any cost at all, but very important to what we're trying to do. And those are things like sidewalk vending, outdoor cafes, and expanded signage capabilities, which obviously help the vibrancy and activity that we're all striving for. I appreciate everything that each one of you has done and a multitude of others in getting us where we are today. So with that, thank you very much, and I hope you will see fit to adopt Downtown Dallas 360 as part of our goal to work together. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Crawford, and thank you for all the hard work and the good work that you do.
Thank you.
Of course. Okay.
Are there any other speakers on this item?
Mr. Mayor.
Is there a motion? Ms. Hunt, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. John, thank you for being such a tremendous cheerleader for Downtown Dallas. And I missed your sign-off, which is, of course, as goes downtown, Downtown Dallas.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take care of you. I want to thank, as you did, I think Teresa, Pierre, Carl, and all of my colleagues who've participated and worked on this project. It's an incredible blueprint for the future of downtown. I love the quick wins, and in the next few months, I anticipate that we'll be seeing these ordinance changes. You know, if you go to cities that have exciting outdoor downtowns and life and activity in their downtowns, they've got street vendors, they've got kiosks, they've got sidewalk dining, and that's what makes the downtown fun. And we're going to have that too. And we're making sure that our laws are in place that will allow us to do that. And those are some no-cost solutions to, I think, some real perpetual challenges we've had downtown. One of the challenges I think we're going to have is to make sure that this is a living document and that this isn't a plan that gets put on a shelf and, you know, we were excited about it for a couple of months, but that it's a living document, that we're updating it, that we're following the plan. And the great thing about this plan is it has a timeline and it has concrete objectives. It's not simply a watercolor
picture. It is a true blueprint, and we've got to keep that blueprint in front of us. And so I would invite Downtown Dallas to be the organization that keeps that in front of the city council. We constantly have new members and turnover, and we need to make sure that all of our council members are educated about the importance of the plan and what the plan is over the course of the next year, the next 5 years. So I know that you will be good partners and stewards in that effort. So I want to close the public hearing and approve agenda item 95, adopting the Downtown Dallas 360 plan as a vision and strategic action plan for the Downtown Dallas area.
Second.
Has been moved and second. Ms. McDonald, please.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Hunt, thank you for your comments. Going and going to Downtown Dallas, John, I've said this in private, I've said it in public. It is one of my favorite groups to go because they do what they say and they mean what they say. And thank you, Jim Wood and Courtney Garrett and all the staff. They're doing great. But, you know, three overreaching, you know, goals that we want to make sure is that we've got the exciting urban experience. We have that balanced transportation system, and that we are very inclusive in our environment. And those are the three goals. We're going to do it. And with the great partnership that City of Dallas has with Downtown Dallas, it will get done. And John, I know with you leading the ship there and in cooperation with the city and our staff, it will be done, and it will be done right. So, Ms. Hunt, thank you, and I'd like to second that.
All right. This has been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you. Let's go with 96, and what we're going to have is required to have 2 seconds. We'll finish 96 through 100,
okay.
And then we'll go back and work back up towards Steve, and we'll move back toward 80. 96 through 99 together. You read them to the record, Madam Secretary.
Okay. Item 96. Oh. Mr. Natinsky, Mr. Mayor, has a conflict on those items.
Okay. Ms. Natinsky. Bye-bye.
Item 96 was a public hearing to receive comments regarding the creation of a reinvestment zone for commercial tax abatement to be known as the City of Dallas Reinvestment Zone Number 75, incorporating 18 acres of property located at 3333 Dan Martin Drive in Dallas for the purpose of granting economic development incentives to White Way Foods Company and or Dean Foods Company. Name 7 is an ordinance designating the 18 acres of property located at 3333 Dan Martin Drive in Dallas as City of Dallas Reinvestment Zone Number 75 for the purpose of granting economic development incentives to White Way Foods Company and or Dean Foods Company, establishing the boundaries of the reinvestment zone and providing for an effective date. Item number 98 is authorized a 90% business personal property tax abatement agreement for 10 years with White Way Foods Company and our Dean Foods Company located on 18 acres of property located at 3333 Dan Martin Drive in Dallas. And item 99 is authorized a Chapter 380 economic development grant agreement pursuant to the public-private partnership program with White Way Foods Company, associated with the location expansion of the company's operation in Dallas. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on items 96, 97, 98, and 99? Please state your name and your address for the record.
Leslie Adam Davis, 3035 East Ledbetter, apartment 401, Dallas, Texas, 75216, apartment 401, phone 214-376-3811. I'm against Proposition 98. See, the video we do this every year. I said I don't want no tax abatement because we always short on funds at the end of the year. We didn't sit on how the budget is going. If we are plus or minus, when the red and the black, there ain't going to be no comment, of course. But that's what I'm talking about. These tax abatements hurting the city government income, tax revenue. I'm against it. I got 3 minutes, don't I?
No.
I don't?
Mm-mm.
How much time I got?
You're running short now.
Oh, well, thank you, and I made my comment. I'm against it because of tax abatement.
Let's finish your statement. All right.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on the items? Mr. Mayor.
All right. Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
This was briefed at Economic Development Committee and was unanimously recommended to the full council. This is an $85 million investment to the heart of Oak Cliff on Keith Boulevard. Mr. Schinkel, Pete Schinkel of Dean Foods couldn't be here today, but I want to very publicly say thank you for everything that Pete Schinkel does as a private citizen and in connection with our city. The list could go on and on of Pete Schinkel's contributions and his service to Dallas, but very specifically to this project, $85 million private investment, 100 new jobs, again, 100 new net jobs to Oak Cliff. Their plan is, council members, a LEED certified building. That's just phase one. That economic value to the city in the 10-year basis is over $4 million net dollars to the city in tax value, and over 20 years, over $12 million. So on the net-net, this is a very positive thing for the city of Dallas. This does capture the essence of what we are doing as a public-private partnership. I'm very pleased about it. They're already talking about phase two. Nothing with specifics that they can comment about publicly, but they're excited about it. And so with that, Mayor, and Council, 96, 97, 98, 99, I move for approval.
Second. One more second.
Second.
All right, good. It's been moved. All in favor, ready to vote on 96, 7, 8, and 99? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Madam Secretary, item 100.
Item 100 is a public hearing to receive comments on the City of Dallas proposal to submit an amended application to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for a Community Development Block Grant Section 10A Guaranteed Loan Program loan in the amount of $11,750,000 to fund a loan for Hamilton Atmos LP for development of the Atmos Lofts project to convert three vacant commercial buildings located at 301 South Harwood, 1915 Wood Street and 1815 Wood Street in a mixed-use project including 9,500 square feet of bottom floor retail space, 123 apartment homes above the retail space, with 63 apartment units deed restricted for 15 years for affordability to families with incomes of 80% or less of area median family income as established by HUD, and 199 parking spaces, and to fund property acquisition, site work, housing rehabilitation, and interest reserve, and at the close of the public hearing, authorize number one, submission of an amended application to HUD for a CDBG Section 10A Guaranteed Loan Program loan for Hamilton Atmos LP in amount not to exceed $11,750,000, and two, the city manager submit the application and take necessary action in connection with the application submission. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item? Anyone like to speak? Mr. Mayor.
The motion to approve?
Second.
Moved and second. All in favor? Do I get 2 seconds?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Madam Secretary, let's go backwards. Let's go with 92, then we'll go to 89, and we'll close with 88. 92, item 92.
Item 92 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an amendment to the City of Dallas Thoroughfare Plan to delete Shorecrest Drive between Harry Hines Boulevard and Regal Row, a four-lane undivided roadway within 60 feet of right-of-way, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance amending the changes.
So moved.
Second. All right, the move and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Secretary, 89.
89 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a neighborhood office district on property zoned a single-family district on the southeast corner of Marine Way and Stillwell Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, as previously noted, we sent 39 notices to property owners from 300 feet of their request. We received 10 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the city plan's recommendation? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. On item number 89, I move to remand item number 89 back to the City Plan Commission with instructions to staff to allow the applicant to amend his application to, one, increase the area under consideration to incorporate
the adjoining lot to the south that fronts on the Walton Walker Service Road, and two, request CS Commercial Service Zoning. The applicant shall pay any additional fees required to amend the application to incorporate deed restrictions. I've spoken to the applicant, and what we discovered is that they need to amend their plans to something they can do today. The plans that were submitted previously are plans that could be a future final total build-out of the property. However, because of the economy, the applicant really doesn't have the finances to really move forward with the original plan, so we're going to go back and amend it, and they have the financing to come back with a future plan that they've already met with the neighborhood and several businesses on Walton Walker over in the Mountain Valley area, and they all support the new revised plans once they come back from the plan commission. So I ask for consideration of my motion.
So moved.
Second.
Has been moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Item number 88 is going to say three-quarters vote.
Item 88 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an industrial manufacturing district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an outside salvage or reclamation use on property zone and industrial research district on the north line of Singleton Boulevard east of Pluto Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 25 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the request. We received 4 replies in favor and 10 replies in opposition. As just noted, due to the opposition of owners from more than 20% of the land within 200 feet of the request, a favor vote of 3/4 city council is required to approve this.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission?
I do. Okay. Judge Pervilla. We've already had a meeting with Steve Salazar, and he gave us his word that this would be pulled out and allow the city person or the new person, city council, to be elected, and then we would deal with that. I'm hoping that he's a man of his word.
That's not true.
Yes, sir. We had the business development stuff on it. You said that you were going to pull it out. You would not deal with it, and you allow the person that comes behind you to deal with that, sir.
I did not say that.
Then you're not a man of your word.
You are not.
You're not.
Just address me, and then let me see how we need to proceed.
We had a meeting with Steve Salazar, along with the West Dallas Business Association. And when we met with him, also a lady named Ms. Carina also was there. And in the meeting that we had with him, he was wanting to move forward for I don't know what reason or what deal was done there. But our recommendation to him is just put it aside, let the new person that's going to be city council deal with it. And he agreed.
All right. And finish speaking.
That's my completion.
All right, let us hear the next speaker.
Thank you, sir.
We still have to hear them.
Thank you, Mayor.
Anyone else who wants to speak in opposition to the recommendation?
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Fred Carr, and I'm the plant manager of Pioneer Balloon, located at 4025 Singleton Boulevard. We're 2 doors east of the proposed zone change. Excuse me. Pioneer is the world-leading manufacturer of latex balloons, and the Singleton plant is our flagship facility. Last April, we hosted a World Balloon Convention here in Dallas, which brought over 700 people from 33 different countries to the Sheraton Downtown Convention Center. A large draw of the event was a plant tour, and we plan on repeating that event in March 2012. Having a salvage yard 2 lots down from our plant will dramatically reduce the impression of the tour to our customers and highly make it unlikely that we'll repeat this convention in Dallas. Pioneer has operated a plant on Singleton since 1989, and presently we employ 119 people. We are in the middle of a multi-million dollar capital investment in the facility, which is adding 16 jobs. We had planned a second phase of that project, which will add approximately 20 or more jobs. But the salvage yard, if approved, will impact our willingness to make these additional investments. We are concerned by this application, and we vigorously oppose it. We believe it would destroy the value of our property, the surrounding properties and would impact the future expansion of what we have in Dallas. We invested in the area that we're in based on the understanding that it was a target for industrial redevelopment and believe that a salvage yard will dramatically set back the progress that's been made here. We believe that a salvage yard does not fit the council's West Dallas revitalization plan. We are therefore asking the council to deny the zoning change or delay the matter until after the May 6th election for District 6. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition to the...
Lissy Allen Davis, 3035 East Ledbetter, apartment 401, Dallas, Texas, 75216, phone number 214-376-3811. I think a salvage yard, another salvage yard in West Dallas would be bad for the surrounding community. It could part of the water supply. I think you need to put this going to be positive for West Dallas, and there's something that's going to be needed. And I go, how many people here? It's an eyesore, too. Let's see how they report it. Thank you.
Anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
My name is James Cornelius, Sal and Company. We own the 126 acres that is immediately to the north of this subject request. I have sent letters not only to Councilman Salazar, but each of you in the past, so not bore you with the details. The Dallas Morning News has done a fantastic job of chronicling why this application is not right for this property at this time. I believe you've heard enough opposition. Thank you.
Anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Anyone that would like to speak in favor?
Flat as much as 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 5202. Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to point out a few things with everyone who spoke. Who's in the area has the same zoning that we're trying to request. We're the last 12 acres on Singleton in a sea of 1,500 acres of industrial, heavy industrial zoning. I'm going to repeat that. 1,500 acres of heavy industrial zoning surrounds us. Councilman Salazar, plan commissioner toured the property. We've been very deliberate in speaking with our neighbors and the neighborhoods around this site. From February to May of last year, we negotiated with the West Dallas Chamber of Commerce, Jacobs Iron, the largest property owner to our north and west, that's been in operation since 1962, to put these restrictions in place to take out the opportunity that this could be a metal salvage yard. Our intent is an auto pick-your-part place. So from the street, it's going to look like a parking lot. It's not a salvage yard. It's never intended to be a metal salvage yard. It's an auto salvage pick-your-part. There are a number of items that we reached in compromise. We are planting 14 new trees. If you drive down Singleton, and we have some photos too, you see a lot of chain link fences with barbed wire. Chain link fence, barbed wire, chain link fence, barbed wire. We're going to put a wrought iron fence, 14 new trees. Before a vehicle can come onto our property, we have to remove of all environmental potential impacts. We remove all fluids. We remove the engine. We remove the battery, mercury, and filled light bulbs. Go to the next slide. We take out all the engines, we store them, catalog them, people order them off the internet, we send them around the world. We go to the next slide. Our property is 12 acres. Part of our restrictions with this SUP is that the city code says we need a 9-foot fence around the entire property. We're going to maximum height of 8 feet for all stacking, with the exception of what you see in red where we will crush vehicles. The maximum height allowed will be 10 feet. And so we're going to go 1 foot over the fence only on this section. Everything else is going to be a foot below the fence. If we go to the next slide. In addition, we've moved in negotiations with the chamber. We moved our property, we moved our business back 100 feet. There was a lot of negotiation going from 50 to 75. We agreed to move it back 100. A 20-foot landscape buffer, 3-foot hedgerows, 14 trees, wrought iron fence. And then you get our parking lot, and then you get our required screening. We have our office and then our storage and maintenance facility where we have to tend it to vehicles before they're permitted on the property. One of the restrictions that we got from Jacobs Iron is that this use is only allowed to deal with titled vehicles. If an abandoned vehicle shows up on our property, we call the city to take it to the pound. We are not our license does not allow us to deal with anything but a titled vehicle. If we go to the next slide. This is some of the industrial users, some of the folks who spoke with you today, that this is located to the west on Pluto Drive, Pluto Street. If you go to the next slide. Again, on Pluto Street, where you have some of the heavy metal recyclers and heavy recycler operators. Again, this is an auto salvage yard. If you go to the next slide. On Singleton Boulevard, there's one wrought iron fence. When we met with the neighborhood and with the chamber, they said, can you make your fence match that one? We agreed. We would do like you see on the left, a wrought iron fence along Singleton. Across the street from us, again, you'll get to what I've explained, chain link fence, barbed wire. If you go to the next slide. Going down Singleton, traveling east, again, you'll see chain link fence, barbed wire. If you go to the next slide. More of the same. And so what we're adding to Singleton Boulevard is a request to go from IR to IM with an SUP for auto salvage with a condition that all these landscaping items and irrigation systems must be in place prior to the issuance of a certificate of occupancy. I would like to finally point out, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and give me the extra time, and that we've met with the Neighborhood Association on two occasions, with the Ledbetter Eagle Ford Neighborhood Association, the Sunland Development Corporation, JC Neighborhood Association, and in every instance they've said this is a great idea. We wish more businesses on Singleton would put in the landscaping that you're proposing, doing these features that you're proposing, because they too would like to see Singleton improved. And so, Mr. Cothram attended the last meeting, I believe there were 20 folks in attendance. No one has a problem who lives here and that better go forward with this proposed use. They like the compromises that we have made, and again, we made this in conjunction with the property owners around us, with the Chamber of Commerce, and with the neighborhoods. May I stand for any questions you may have? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Salazar.
Thank you, Mayor.
Who was it? Ms. Watkins, are you done?
Is there anyone else who would like
to come? Yes, I would like to make a comment on this proposal. I'm for allowing the project, as Mr. Sepulveda mentioned, deferring it until the new council. Based on what I know about the Trinity River project, this is part of the continued effort at a land grab, at the gentrification, or the elitification of land along the Trinity River project. I know many small businesses today that are being driven out of that area for the elitification and the gentrification and the land grab. These are businesses that used to be the backbone of Dallas, but now are not given a compensation for their land, for their businesses, so they can establish themselves someplace else. The former backbone, that the tax base of the city is being driven out of Dallas because of the land grab. So I encourage you to defer this decision until the new council. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, that's all of the speakers on the item.
All right, Mr. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. This item will require 12 votes. So I'm asking the council members to consider what they've heard from the applicant, because what we've seen in the newspaper has not been very accurate. When they put this project up, they put the picture of the Calatrava Bridge. That bridge is over 3 miles away. This property is actually closer to Irving than it is to downtown Dallas. In fact, the kids who go to the schools in this area go to Irving High School. They don't go to Dallas. They're part of the Irving Independent School District for the high school. So, in this situation, as you see in the pictures, you have a very heavily industrial area. A heavily industrial area where you saw in front of you tankers of oil, gas, gasoline. You got GAF out there, waste management. Those are the neighbors that they're looking at. What this applicant has done, he's done what many other applicants didn't do in the years in the past. He went to the neighbors and said, you want to operate in your area. Not in your neighborhood, but in your industrial area. What are some of the things that you would like to see as we
proceed with the application. And they said, well, we don't want to see anything that you're doing, okay? So they put the fence in. We like some trees because we like the area to look prettier. They put trees, they put a buffer. Well, we don't want to actually see it too close to the street. So they put the 100 feet. They give them up 100 feet. 100 feet. Easily this could have been another car lot, another used car lot. But they went back 100 feet. And they said, well, we want you to hire in the neighborhood. So, okay, you know, people can work from there. And even people who are trained at Goodwill could apply there to work as well. I understand the need for the design studio, but this is not anything involving the design studio at all. This is not on the radar of any plans regarding the treaty or the West Dallas development. This is an industrial area. This area will not change for at least another 10 to 20 years because of the heavy industrial uses in that area. So you can let land sit fallow and they pay very little taxes, or we can allow people to utilize land in an effective way to create jobs, to pay more taxes, to create revenue for the city, to create retail sales. There can be a retail outlet where people come in and they buy used parts. So what I'm asking the council to do is support me in the motion I'm about to make to allow this use of the land, because this is a better use than what some of the uses are right now that exist right now that we're not able to do anything about. But this applicant is asking for something that he should be allowed to because it's an industrial area, a heavily industrial area. It's already there. He's done it in a manner that is respectful to the community. I have met with both sides. And I know there's been, in one meeting they said, well, why don't you delay it for the next council member? But, well, I mean, my term does not end until June. I intend to serve out my term and to do the job that I got elected to do. Just because a candidate who wants to run for the office says for me to wait. I wasn't elected to wait. I was elected to take action, but to take action in a reasonable way, respectful of the voters and citizens that elected me, and that's what I have done. We could have approved it a long time ago, but I wanted to make sure that the neighbors had what they wanted, and they said they do. And the neighbors I'm talking about are actually about, you know, three quarters of a mile, almost a mile away. That's how close the neighborhoods are. They're not that close. But I had them go to the neighbors and ask, and they said, we can live with this because if you start, it's a shotgun property, so you're only going to really see part of it. And it's going to be fenced, buffered, and it's going to, and they're only building, I think, three actual physical facilities on there. So in the future, if it does change, you're not going to have to change a lot. You just have to take out three buildings, and then you've got your property back. So with that, I'm going to make the following motion. And it's going to take 11 votes. It's 11. 11 votes. To move to approve the item as approved by both the Plan Commission and recommended by staff, with the following, which also requiring that all dismantling to be done in an enclosed structure that limits the stacking height to 8 feet. If the restrictions going to come back to us, subject to the due restrictions coming back. Limits stacking height to 8 feet on the majority of the PD. One area allows 10 foot in height. Solid screening around the site. Landscaping per Article 10. The time required 2 years with automatic renewals for additional 3 year periods. Deed restrictions, limiting the use to those permitted only in existing zoning plus the salvage use, and it's also going to remove the flea market use currently permitted on the site. That's the motion.
That's the motion. Second.
All right, it's been moved and second. All in favor?
I've got a question.
Mr. Miller, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Cornelius, could you come down a second? Tammy? You're a representative of the owner of the land to the north of this property, correct?
Yes, sir.
What's the acreage?
126 acres.
Has it ever been developed?
No, sir.
What are your intentions?
We are, it will be sometime, but we, our intentions are that the Peach property will be developed as a multi-use property. We look at the property similar to the redevelopment of the DHA property over to the east, where this is an opportunity to change.
Greenleaf Village?
Yes, sir. Greenleaf Village, which you know has gone on to become Greenleaf Village, Section 1 and Section 2.
Been successful.
Yes, sir. And we look at this as the opportunity. This is one of the last opportunities to change the landscape, to change what has been historically characterized in this part of the world. There are just not this much vacant land anywhere there. We think it will take some time. We are interested in that solely based on the activities that the city of Dallas has undertaken with the Trinity River, with the bridge, recognizing that some of those may or may not be able to come completely to fruition, but enough has happened to date to make us convinced this is the right action.
Your property, I'm looking at one of these Google maps in order to zero in on. Your property is to the north of this subject property. To the south of your property are several industrial uses, correct?
Yes, sir. Featherlight is one of the primary ones, yes, sir.
Pioneer Balloon, Featherlight, Industrial Metal Specialties. I'm just reading off of here and so forth.
Yes.
Do you envision is there access to your property from Singleton, or is it going to become from Bernal or from Norwich?
Norwich.
From Norwich.
Norwich and Bernal.
East.
Norwich is our eastern boundary.
Yes.
Our property does not extend to Singleton. Norwich is our eastern boundary. Bernal is the northern boundary.
And because you anticipate access, to your property and this future development from Norwich, why is it that it's of concern to you about the industrial uses to the south of your property? Because there's already industrial use to the south of your property.
Yes, sir. Well, I do believe under the current regulatory guidelines of today that these people make every effort to not have any runoff or any...
These people, you mean the applicant?
The applicant, excuse me. I'm sorry. The applicant would not have any runoff, would not have any of those items. However, given, and I've lost the name, there's so many different programs down here at the city related to the Trinity River program. There is a program where they're over looking at the master plan, taking the area one area at a time, looking at the zoning and envisioning.
Comprehensive plan, you talking about?
The comprehensive plan related to the changes that will come from the Trinity River project. And envision with them, for example, they do not envision heavy industrial on our property.
But again, I'm very much a believer in what you are trying to do in that your eventuality. My question goes to, and I'm in a quandary here, because what you're potentially doing is bringing in some residential that will be a catalyst project potentially for the area, similar to what you referenced to east in the Greenleaf Village.
Yes, sir.
My question is, if your access to your property is from Norwich, which is the north-south street that is that intersects 90 degrees into Singleton, tell me what your concern is about the industrial to the south of your property in Singleton.
The only logical way to get to Norwich is to get there by Singleton. Bernal is a serpentine street following the old riverbed, and it is not a heavy traffic carrier designed to be a heavy traffic carrier. And natural traffic patterns are going to go to the four-lane divided Singleton and to come to this property.
Do you envision, as an adjacent property owner, these other industrial uses that are in place on Singleton to the south of your property changing into something other than industrial? I'm just trying to get a lay of the land of what your vision is.
Yes, sir.
Your company put money in the ground.
Yes, sir.
And they're trying to decide what you're going to do with it. So I'm interested in how you're going to access your property and what your other neighbors are 5-10 years out.
Yes, sir. It's a light concrete construction. That's why it's called Featherlight.
Yeah.
The balloon plant is an example. We understand that those industrial uses are there, and in fact, we'll probably be grandfathered when zoning changes occur in years to come, and we'll be there for many years to come. Each of those uses are a lighter intensity, a lighter use than what is proposed in the eye of the classic consumer driving by.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Cornelius.
Thank you, Mayor.
I'm sorry.
No, I may have questions later, but that's. I just wanted to, for the, my benefit and for the council's benefit, to ask Mr. Cornelius to speak to the issue as a large, undeveloped property owner to the north, and again, how it would access his property versus not in the surrounding industrial. Thank you, Mayor.
Ms. Matensky, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of questions, I guess. Santos? You said something about the fence height, that you were going to build a fence that was 9 feet tall, but in part of the property, I guess the eastern piece of it, I guess it would be.
We can call it the side, if that helps, if that's available. Are you talking about the high zones?
Well, yeah, and what you said was is that there would be, you were going to build a high fence, and it would be 1 foot taller than that, that your equipment or whatever it is. It was a car crushing zone, I guess.
That's correct.
The red one.
That's correct.
Okay. So my question is there a reason that you don't just build a higher, I'm just asking, I mean, is there some logic that
yeah, this came out of the Planning Commission, because staff recommended.
Well, I'm asking you as the representative of the applicant as to, if the goal was to shield the operations, I mean, why do you stop 1 foot short? And I'm not.
Because that's the only place where stacking would be greater than 8, because as we crush vehicles to stack them, and before we get them loaded onto a truck, that's the maximum height that we would need in order to do that. Staff pointed out that with the length of this property, we could actually stack up to 40 feet. And that came out of the Plan Commission. We agreed we'll never go over 10, because we just want to limit it in this area. To stack vehicles for where you get a bucket seat out of a vehicle, or to take a rear view mirror out, or things like that, that's going to be 8, which is in everything in blue. But for the one part of our operations where we need to crush vehicles, we are just asking for that extra 10 feet, if you'd like, where we look on that, where that little notch is. If you'd like for us to go 10 feet right there with a 10-foot solid screen, I believe that's fine.
I'm not negotiating with you here. I'm just asking
the question. That was the only reason, because where our machines are and our equipment, it's like maybe 9.5 feet, and then to crush it, and then once you crush it and stack, we go up to a height of 10, so that's where 10
comes
out.
Next question. You said something about that the only thing that you could do on the property was receive licensed vehicles.
Titles. Yes, correct.
Okay.
If there's an abandoned car on the side of the road,
yeah,
we are not allowed to pick that up and bring it to our yard and offer it for scrap for resale. The only vehicles that are allowed on our property are those which have a clear title.
So you're saying that the owner of the vehicle must bring the title?
Yeah, we did it through insurance agent that there was an accident, through that means. Or we did it through auction where there's a clear title present.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Somebody has a title to the vehicle
That's
and they bring it to you.
That's correct. And a good point of that, and our negotiation with Jacob's Iron and Metal next door, their initial conversation was, is this a metal yard? We really don't want this to be a metal yard. And once we explained that, no, we deal with titled vehicles, they said, well, can you make that part of your deed restriction to further restrict that use of outside solid reclamation so that no one could transfer that CO to use it as a recycled buyback center or another type of metal salvage facility. So that deed restriction, public deed restriction, came out of our negotiations with our neighbor to say, since that's what we do, we'd be happy to put that restriction on the property.
Okay. I guess generally my question would be, find it here. There was a tally, and Mr. Salazar, this made a change because I'm not sure what slice of time this took place, but it shows that there were 4 replies in favor that represented 13 different parcels, and then there were 10 replies in opposition representing 22 different parcels. Or maybe staff. David?
I'd be happy to. For two things.
Okay, that was on 4th. Was that compiled in 413? So that was actually relatively recently.
That, and also the numbers were similar at our Plan Commission hearing. And I'd like to point out that from February to May, where our Plan Commission hearing took place, we negotiated faithfully with Mr. Cornelius with the West Dallas Chamber of Commerce. The day before the hearing at 5 o'clock, we received a call that said after we've agreed to all these deed restrictions that we cannot support your case. And so subsequent to that is where you see the ballot changes. receptive, and we explained that at the Plan Commission, that for 3 months we negotiated with every property owner in good faith, Jacob Iron, Mr. Cornelius, West Dallas Chamber of Commerce. That list of deed restrictions was prepared in negotiations with all parties and the neighborhood. And then the day before the hearing, they changed their mind, and the votes came in the way you see them. And so I think that's an important asterisk that should be stated, and that
today, do you have the support in writing of the West Dallas Chamber?
No, I'll tell you why they're still in opposition. It's the letter they gave to the Plan Commission. They are asking for two things. One is that for 500 feet, they want us to install a brick wall, a masonry wall, all along Singleton. We repeated that we cannot put, no one else has a brick wall 500 feet. Why are we responsible for a brick wall 500 feet? The second item I think that's important that was on the tape of the Plan Commission, and in fact, Plan Commissioners asked the question succinctly. Their second item that they wanted was a letter or a deed restriction that we would never oppose Mr. Cornelius' zoning case, potential zoning case in the future. That they wanted some type of restriction from our owner or any subsequent owner, that they would never object to that. I believe it was Ms. Wolfish who asked, what's the land use rationale for that? If you're objecting to this use because of a brick fence and a letter that they will never oppose you, I don't understand what the land use opposition is. And that's why you have a vote of 13-2 at Plan Commission, because that's the stated objection of the chamber.
Last question for you, Santos. Do you have a picture from the street, or maybe one of these that Mr. Salazar passed out?
Mm-hmm.
Which one of these is the front of property 6X? Or 6, I guess it is.
I'd have to look at the map to see which one is 6S, but we've got six photos, two photos.
The Pioneer facility.
Is that the balloon facility?
Balloon place. Continental.
That would be one of the Singleton shots that either has this grass in the front and then they're building, or it could be the one that's got
the Pioneer. The gentleman down here from Pioneer.
Sure.
So can you come down? What's the address of your facility? Or can you identify it from one of these pictures for me? David, do you have a set of these or something you could show him? Somebody? I guess what I'm trying to do is get some sense of what the front of your facility looks like, and I don't know which of these pictures is yours. So I think they're going to show you those pictures. Mr. Cotham, why don't you grab a set of those and just show him?
We could go back to slide 8, please.
Slide 8?
On his presentation.
Okay.
Let's see, on 8. On page 8.
Well, while they're doing that, could you come back over here, sir? The microphone? Yeah. I'm sorry, what was your name again?
It'd be the photo on the left.
My name is Fred Carr.
Fred, okay.
I'm the plant manager.
Right,
yes.
Okay. All right, so this, can you see those pictures there? Is the one on the left, the white building, yours?
I can see, go ahead.
Is the one on the left, the white building, yours?
No, sir.
Okay, which is your building? Yeah, sure, go ahead. Okay. The taller one or the shorter one? Is it the white building there?
The taller white building, yes, sir.
The white building is your facility?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Before you upgraded. So does it look different today, or? All right. Well, okay. So I'm okay. All right. Come on back out here to the microphone. Okay, can you tell, just repeat for me, when did you move into that facility?
1988.
Okay, and you employ what?
119 people.
119 people.
Yes, sir.
And you've invested how much in the rehabilitation of the facility?
Well, what we're putting in now is almost a $1 million machine. The outside was $28,000 plus just to get it painted. Yes, there's an upgrade of the monument.
Okay.
Out front.
All right. Okay, thank you, sir. Well, colleagues, I guess a couple things bother me about this, and particularly the comment about the reluctance to provide a solid screen wall across the front. I think at some point it's incumbent upon somebody to begin bettering the visual attitude of the city, of the street along there. And if indeed this Pioneer, from what I can tell from this picture, it looks significantly better than the ones that are shown on some of these other slides. But at the same time, you've got a heavy industrial use out there, and I guess I would have felt a lot better if the applicant had come up with some solid screening fence along the front rather than what they're doing. Just to say that they're the first one and they shouldn't have to do it, I guess I'm uncomfortable with that. The other aspect of it is the 3 years with automatic renewals. Because in a lot of these SUP cases, I guess the proof is going to be in the pudding. If this business ends up being as good a neighbor as they portray themselves to be, then I would think that the adjoining neighborhoods, and whether they be businesses or residential, would be in favor of a renewal of the SUP rather than an automatic. Automatic, I know that it's not actually automatic, but the process is really not one that's tilted in favor of putting an end to a use that's there. It really is tilted in favor of the automatic thing going through. So this is how many years? 3 years?
Right now?
Proposed for 3 years?
It's proposed 2 years or 3 years. Again, we'd be happy to look at just the media.
I would be far more inclined to support, 3 years and no automatic, and let you prove that you can be the good neighbor that you say you're going to be. And at that point, if you're the good neighbor, I think you wouldn't have a problem, running through the process again and having the support of the community. I'm a little troubled that about the lack of support of the chamber, but I understand your reluctance to, accede or, as you use the term, negotiate some of these particular steps. So I guess I'll listen to Mr. Salazar, and I thought Mr. Cadena was up there, but whatever, and then we'll decide what to do. Thank you.
Mr. Salazar, please. Thank you, Mayor. I've heard my colleagues, I've talked to the applicant. It's a concern regarding the automatic renewals, and the agreement I have with the applicant is that they would be accepted for me to amend my motion to say 5 years with a 5 year SUP with no automatic renewals.
Mayor?
Yes.
For the purpose of those listening, could AC or staff differentiate automatic renewals versus not? I just think maybe Mr. Cossum. That is one of my concerns, quite honestly. Mayor, can I continue my comment?
Yeah, hold on 1 second.
I apologize.
You restate your motion and get the second, and then we'll get to
the
second.
I second what he said.
Okay.
5 years.
5 years. So it's been moved and second. Mr. Newman, you want to hear a clarification from Mr. Awesome.
Thank you, Mayor. And my concern, and I'm going to ask my question to you after I make my comment. The reason why I brought Mr. Cornelius down is because I wanted to look inside him and have him verbalize access to his property, which is a valuable jewel to the West Dallas community. It's undeveloped. And also to get an idea of some level of timetable involved of when your property will be activated, and also to get your feedback about your southern neighbors that are all industrial. Mr. Cossum, the process of automatic renewals versus non-automatic renewals. Mr. Salazar has now amended his motion to not include automatic renewals. What happens in an automatic renewal versus not?
So with an automatic renewal, first thing that has to happen is the applicant has to come in and request the automatic renewal. If that doesn't happen, then the SUP goes away. But if the applicant comes in, makes that request, then staff is required to check the conditions of the SUP and make sure the property is in compliance with those conditions. In addition, send out notices to all property owners within 200 feet of their request. If there's more than 20% opposition...
This is for the automatic.
For the automatic, yes, sir. If there's more than 20% opposition, then that would trigger a full public hearing. That's the only instance...
How often does that happen?
Not too often.
That's my point.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the full public hearing the Planning Commission and the Council, or just the Planning Commission?
They have to basically go back through the entire process.
Yeah, so that rarely happens.
That is correct.
So an automatic renewal process is almost automatic.
Yes, sir. Provide the applicant makes timely application.
And so in zoning cases respective to my district, I'm very cautious about doing automatic renewals because a lot of things change in 5 years. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I'm open to Mr. Salazar's amended motion is it takes away this automatic process, and I'm trying to balance the development that you have on your doorstep and the dollars you have invested, Mr. Cornelius, as well as the other positive changes that are coming to West Dallas. And the question is the 5 year the right period of time? And if you take away this automatic process, it brings the public hearing process back into play.
Yes, sir. Automatic. I mean, it's not automatic renewal. If they have to come in and make application without automatic renewal, it's the full public hearing process.
But thank you, ma'am.
All right. Thank you. It's been moved in second.
Can we vote later?
Yes, it's been moved in second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so moved. Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Mr. Mayor, we've completed all the items on the agenda, and we're now ready to move to the speakers for this afternoon. Our first speaker this afternoon will be Martha Du Bois, followed by John Crawford, and I think Mr. Crawford has already spoke. And so first is Martha Du Bois. Mr. Boyce, will you come forward and let me recite the rules for speaking while you're coming forward. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings should observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal and pertinent profane or slanderous remarks or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council or while attending the city council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant arm is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the council. You have 3 minutes to speak. You'll see an amber light, which means you have 30 seconds, and then you'll see a red light flashing, which means stop. So state your name and your address for the record. You can go. You can begin.
I can be told, Honorable Mayor and Honorable City Council, I could do issues represent to all 500.
Oh, really? Really, continue.
500 residents from Notre Dame for senior living and disabled. And 81 South Madison, 7528 Erico, Dallas, Texas. The first issue is as a dangerous killer dog, boxer, over 150 to 200 pounds. Luna lives in the street, could not reach no supervision of the owner. And he attacked me in February 9, 2011. I survived. I had an injury in my right scalp because he jumped me like tiger. And my knee and ligaments. So I called 311 and police department 911, and nothing happened, no response. For a week and a half, I went to the protein mayor, Ms. Paulina Mediano, and asking for assistance. So she make an arrangement with code enforcement and animal control, and then I stay in contact with me. So the situation came to hearing in March 29, 2001. The owner of the dog don't appear, and the hearing don't go nowhere. My manager from the department, Ms. Carmen Arana, he went with me to the hearing. So still pending in code enforcement and animal control, never pounded or removed the dog from the neighborhood. The dog who, the dog dangers is running around day and night after my attack. Also is attacked and most killed a small English Terrier. He was the one saved my life because he put in between the big dog and me, and the second time to try and attack me the second time. So all bills for my ERs, family doctors, and a special professional counseling and trauma, I had too much expenses. And also the all surgery and everything for the small terrier English saved my life. So another resident, Mr. Long, from the same apartment, was a second victim of the attack of the dangerous dog. And it's negligent in purpose. Why, cause of money and animal control don't pick up the dog right away? There's too much evidence. So the second issue is we are in too much problem with the XU3. Three apartments, they are shut down. The electric is also with me. I don't own bills. It's only because of the 6 months.
Hold on 1 minute, ma'am. Let me let Ms. Hostel address your concerns, okay? Ms.
Yes.
Hostel, you want to speak to this
yes,
man?
Yes, thank you.
Right, and then Joey, make sure you all get with Mr. Boyd.
Yes, Joey
DeCoe.
Ms. Hostel. Mr. Dubois, thank you for being here. You live in my district, so I'm going to be helping you. The first person we need to talk to is Joey Zapata. He is over the code enforcement in charge of the dogs, the loose dogs. And then hopefully we can also find out about your second issue, which we don't have time to talk about today at the podium, but we will talk to you about it here. So come on over and sit on this end, and we'll have someone help you.
So, excuse me, the second issue I cannot talk?
We'll get with you over here. Yeah, we'll talk about it over here. Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor.
All right, thank you. Madam Secretary?
Steve Mathis.
My name is Steve Mathis. I reside at 25 Redditor East and Arbor Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75216. I'll be speaking about the Dallas Optimized Reentry System, better known as DOORS. And also I'll be representing all ex-offenders. I thank you for creating the DOORS, providing opportunities for men and women trying to live, to turn their lives around and be better fathers. But something has been lost in the translation of this organization from concept to reality. I ask you as a person trying to find employment to take a hard look at this program. I also find that the makeup of city workers is disproportionate with the demographic makeup of the city. I also ask you to look at that. I know that you put over $500,000 into the DOORS program. And as a person needing to find employment, I ask you to invest some money in myself instead of these programs. I'm now asking you to invest in me. Mayor Calloway, C.M. Atkins, Councilmember Medrano, and Councilmember Natinsky. I know my opinion may not mean one iota to you, but desperate times call for desperate measures, and I hope you take into consideration what I'm saying right now. And I hope you think about the measures that you're taking in this program and the money that you're spending and putting into it, and decide to divest that and put more money into people such as myself that are trying to make a change in their lives. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Mathis, if you don't mind, have a seat, and when I conclude, I'd like to visit with you, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Our next speaker is from Zambla. Correct? Tamara Washington, followed by Gwen Wooten.
My name is Tamara Washington. My address is 2814 Painted Trail, Dallas, Texas, 75237. And I've come to the council previously discussing an attempted illegal foreclosure on my home. I have a pro se lawsuit in the district court. And basically, the attorneys, it was a Washington attorney, now it's a Houston attorney. They've been trying to get been saying, well, we don't understand the complaint, and and when I had spoke with the Houston attorney, I had occasion to speak with him on one time, and he told me, and I told him I was getting ready to file the paperwork, and he said, I look forward to reading it. So to me, that says, I understand you, what you're saying very well, and he's just telling this information to the judge to get my complaint dismissed, because I don't believe you look forward to reading something vague. And basically, the court over here on Commerce closed my case before they heard from the appeals court. And when I complained to the U.S. District Court, Fifth Circuit, they tell me they don't have, the only thing you can complain against is a judge. And they're like, well, we don't know what to do. If you don't know what to do, then, you know, first job cuts should come to that area. If you don't know what to do, how to handle a court, you know, that's not doing the laws that have been written. And so basically I've written them again, and they want me to say who the judge is, but I don't know the individual or individuals who are closing this, who are, you know, trying to close this case. And I do look forward to my day in court before a jury. And city spending goes on, and I had an idea that you could charge for visitors going to Dealey Plaza, and if they want to take pictures, that costs a little bit more. Or if they just want to drive through, it costs a dollar or two. That's my suggestion, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary.
Gwen Wooten, followed by Cedric Steele.
Good afternoon. My name is Gwen Wooten. I live at 1000 Grizzly. I get telephone calls from poverty stricken people who don't know nothing about government and the church ain't teaching it, so they call me. As a former resident of public housing, I was elected president of Washington Place Resident Council, president of the Council of Presidents of Dallas Housing Authority, and Vice President of the National Tenant Organization in Atlanta, Georgia, representing the Western region, including Hawaii. Now, as a former member of public housing, resident of public housing, we work for residents to become employed who lived in public housing. From they swept grounds, they worked in administration, they worked in management, and now there's a private entity that Dallas Housing Authority is hiring to work in public housing. As many people in public housing need jobs, and you really don't have to have a degree to be a manager or answer a telephone, not even to be the executive director. The last one we had a GED. Now there's a manager at Roseland Home Housing. I think this is District 14, and this realtor company has senior citizens picking up trash for community service. Now, I don't know about white folks, Hispanics, and none of y'all, but people my age, I remember when they used to go pick cotton. I cried to go because I knew what they were doing, but when I got to see that cotton field when I was 16, I was glad my grandmama didn't let me go out there and pick no cotton. Now, I don't particularly care about a senior citizen 60 years old picking up no trash in no public house because these people are trying to save money. The mayor of the city of Dallas appoints the board of directors of Dallas Housing Authority, and I guess y'all hire the executive director. But this woman is so private that you can't even ask for her name. You have to be interrogated. What do you want to know her name for? Why do you want to know what you want to talk to her about? That's ridiculous. If I want to leave Barack Obama a number, I can get an email to send him some information. But I should not have to be interrogated to find out who the executive director of DHA is. But I do plan on being at the next Dallas Housing Authority meeting. Now, I don't think this woman has the right to go in nobody's house. Adults don't have curfews in the city of Dallas. If a car can go down the freeway, I can walk down the street. I want nobody younger than me, older than me, telling me what to do. Now, I don't know about this fascism after y'all killed Kennedy and stuff, but I'm not finna go back. I don't want to go back nowhere. I want to live on this side of town, and I don't have to want to live in Oak Cliff. I don't have to want to live in the southern sector. I don't know nothing about over there, and I don't plan on marrying. I want to live over here, and I don't want no black body, no black, purple, green, brown, orange telling me what part of the city lives and giving me no curfew. And I want that manager stopped over there in Roseland.
Okay.
I don't know what y'all planning, but I don't want this going on in the city of Dallas.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Our next speaker is Cedric Steele, followed by Lissy Allen Davis. You can begin, sir. You, Mr. Steele?
Yeah, I got
okay.
First of all, Walter Cronkite said the media is the only defense against a tyrannical government, and this is a matter to be taken to the citizens of the United States of America because the government has failed me. And due to the seriousness of these issues, and I believe I saw the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, Leon Panetta, today, but I'm not sure. But due to the seriousness of these issues, people should be met in person and not contacted over the phone or anything because of the issues themselves. But Mayor Carraway, you brought attention to the resident of Philadelphia, Michael Vick, who was a felon or something about dogfighting, and I'm Central Intelligence Agency, so you're still ID-15, and I was shot with a taser and thrown in the snow in 11 degree weather, and they found me unconscious about 2 miles from where that happened. And even though it happened in Michigan, I wrote a report to Congress and I gave it to Detective Brian Miller, and they aired it on CNN, and it said the House of Representatives investigate Central Intelligence Agency secret program, which I'm the reason they created that program around. And I came back here to Dallas and nothing has been done since the report was pulled, and it was pulled because I identified the wrong officer. I didn't know that another officer had been present when I was tasered. There was more than one officer on the scene, so I identified the wrong officer, and the right officer, it came to light after he testified against me. Had he not came and testified against me in a trespassing trial, I wouldn't have never knew that he was the officer that had tasered me. But what happened was I was shot with a taser and thrown in the snow. I graduated from Ferris State University in Michigan. This happened in Michigan. And what happened was I was shot with a taser and thrown in the snow. I was shot with a taser in the Rankin Center. As I walked out of the Rankin Center, I looked to the left and I seen a big brown bushy mustache and an officer in a police suit. And then I was shot with a taser. They found me 2 miles away, close to the Big Rapids Police and Fire Station, unconscious. I came to in the hospital, and I began to fight with the nurse and the paramedics, and I was shot again with a taser. And like I said, and as far as the validity of these statements, I know the Dallas Police Station is a secure facility, and you have to have one of those badges to put on that gray box to access the floors. Well, to assure you that I'm Central Intelligence Agency, I just walked onto the elevator, pressed the button, and I ended up on the fourth and the fifth floor. You know, I know there's a real big silver flower with little yellow ducks at the bottom of it and one red duck. You know, I walk all through the Dallas Police Department, so you shouldn't have an issue of validity when it comes to what I'm saying.
All right, your time is up. Thank you, sir.
One more thing. Judge Susan Grant, she presided over the trial, so she can issue a warrant for ex-Central Intelligence Agency Director Michael Hayes and Leon Panetta.
Yes.
So can I get the assurance from you that this will tension Michael Vick?
Yeah, your time is up, all right? Thank you. Next, Madam Secretary, we'll get with you. Madam Secretary?
Next?
Yeah, I got you. Know where you are. 1818. Gotcha. I
got you. Leslie Allen Davis.
We got you.
Followed by Frank Ward.
Leslie Allen Davis. 3035 East Lebanon 441. I know y'all, these are my sources of information concerning Israel. I watched the 700 Club with Pat Robertson. I watched John Hager from John Hager out of San Antonio, Texas. And one more, I watched Hal Lindsey report on Channel 58. These are my sources of information. Hamas has already started launching missiles into Israel. They got Israel had a new defense called Iron Dome. Iron Dome was 100% accurate in long range missiles, but the short range missiles made it through. You know, except every missile was fired in long range at 100% accuracy. But Israel needs help now before we may not be able to get some help in the time of need. We got about four or five countries going to invade Israel at the same time, simultaneous war, and never done before. So I'm encouraging you to help support Israel all you can. And to pray for me. Pray for all the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Pray for me to help me in my home situation because I'm going through a struggle at home with my brother and his friends and his brother's situation. And I got to go to work sometime. I think the government kind of they think I should go back to work some kind of way. Some capacity.
When are you going back to record?
Nope, I couldn't let him call it because I talk to women too much. And I might try working at McDonald's because they're going to be hiring people on the 19th this month. I'm going to make sure I'm off on Wednesday, make sure I attend my city council meeting.
Wait a minute, you got to work on Wednesday.
Huh?
You got to work on Wednesday.
No, no.
Whatever, 1 minute 21 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Back to Israel. It's important. We got an Israeli consulate in Houston, Texas. You can contact them and see what help you can do to help support Israel because the president we have off right now is not supportive of Israel. It's just, he got a lot of Muslim overtones. And they say one day all the nations gonna turn against Israel. That's why we need to support them now while we can. And I got 56 seconds. Pray for me again. Pray in Jesus' name. Keep praying for me. I need all the prayer. I can get much prayer, much power, little prayer, little power. Education is not the answer. Believe and trust in God is the only answer to help save this country. And try to pay up all your bills. And those kids that brother and sister know wrong, forgive them and turn them away. And try to watch those old because he has an uplifting thing that's going to help make people want to do right and be helpful. I like those old things. I got 28 seconds. 27 seconds.
I got the time.
Let me see. My shoes are wearing out in the cab. I didn't have to get some more shoes.
Ms. McGrawney? He just said his shoes are wearing out. He needs some more shoes.
Okay.
I'll put on my suit list because they need to come in hand and I work on my dress code. I'm working on my dress code, Mr. Alonzo Hill.
Okay.
And 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Have a blessed day. I pray God bless everybody. We're going to happily work together.
I got something in the back there. I'm 17. I have another back.
Next speaker is Frank Ward. And our final speaker for this afternoon is Trina Trench.
Good afternoon, Trina Trish, Dallas, Texas. Let me say this, and I'm going to be quick. I received from a government agency, three job fairs that I'm to attend, and they couldn't give me bus vouchers. I don't have a car. What a joke. What a joke. And the people who you are honoring with awards, and then you fire them, and then they lose their homes and no place to put the awards, they don't think it's funny. When I have to speak and you're changing the council agenda and you're doing all types of things that's discriminatory, they're saying, what power does that young lady have? See, my newsletters go out in the street. I talk to people in the street. I deal with businesses in the street. No, I'm not no joke. When they have to vote for somebody and they're looking for integrity, when I go to Echo Park after Tai Chi and then brunch with some people at a Vietnamese restaurant in East Dallas, and I look at Echo Park and I see where if you would just add a few more benches, if you would just put up a few barbecue grills, then guess what? That's family day at the park for lots of people in East Dallas. How long has that park been that bare? And you can also put up the volleyball net. That recreation center, you can utilize that to rent it out. That park will pay for itself. See, I'm talking about saving jobs, saving money. This is a joke. When they harass me for selling street signs because that's the only way I can make money to buy an African pride perm so I can go on a job interview and get a job, but yet I tell them, go get the loiterers, and they say, we can't do that, that's how they make their money. They can't arrest those breaking the law, but they're going to harass me because I'm trying to work to eat, which is the American way. Yes, I had dinner in Centennial Park last night. I had a 99-cent two-piece Popeye chicken with a dollar can of red bean and rice, New Orleans style. You get that from the urban market with a 50-cent hot apple pie. And I sat by the cool lake and I ate my dinner with the birds and the duck. Oh, you don't hear me talking. Poverty isn't money. Poverty is a state of mind. When I can give donations, oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. But then those in the suits and in the cars, they can't. You ain't rich and you ain't impressive. Barbie was dressed up real nice, but she didn't have a heart. How about that? There are people paying attention to what you are doing, who's running for office.
Thank you very much, Ms. Truce. Thank you kindly.
Mr. Mayor, that's all of the speakers this afternoon.
It is exactly 2:51, 2:52. The meeting of the Dallas City Council will adjourn. All right.